One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because, after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
You don't hear a lot about the new generation of social activists, but Wednesday morning at 8, Liz Brown talks to one young man who is making a difference in New York. Kari Lazar White is co-founder of the Brotherhood and Sister Soul program in Harlem that provides opportunities for disadvantaged young people. 96% of his youth graduate or get a GED. 80% have been accepted to college. Has he found the secret to reaching at-risk youth? Join us Wednesday morning at 8 to hear the remarkable story of Kari Lazar White right here on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Children will always outgrow us, but for the first time in generations, they may not outlive us. Over the last 25 years, the percent of overweight children has doubled, a problem that could be greatly reduced just by having a place to exercise. Right now, people are working hard to put parks and playgrounds where children will use them. Log on to earthshare.org today and find out how you can help. A public service message brought to you by EarthShare of Illinois and the Ad Council.
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September. Time now for another edition of The Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Young brother, come on, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Young brother, come on, sister.
Tonight, I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. If in the womb. That's below. That's a low major.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake up call. I am Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609. That would be the fax. And email me at revolution at lizbrown.com. It's getting hot in here. It's getting hot in here. Yes, it is. Senate Republicans on Monday hurriedly, that means fast. That means really, really fast. Hurriedly abandoned a broad tax proposal opposed by the oil industry. They said, ooh, it's getting hot in here, and I'm not just talking about global warming. Could it be? Could it be that it has gotten so uncomfortable for Republicans that they're walking away from their best buddies? Could it be? Senator Frist of Tennessee and majority leader said he had decided to jettison the provision, which would have generated billions of dollars by changing the way businesses treat inventories for tax purposes. He said, well, you know what, I think I'm probably going to just like hold a hearing on this so we can discuss the plus and minuses of the provision so that it becomes well known. No, baby, it's getting hot in here. It's getting hot in here. The retreat came after a bunch of objections by their allies. And the centerpiece of the proposal was the money that was going to make you never have to worry about your retirement again. You know, that $100 rebate check. Members of the public have telephoned to ridicule the idea. Republicans are calling it a knee-jerk populist ideas that the public has seen through. You think? It's getting hot in here. It's getting hot in here. And could it be? What's this? What's up with this? What's this? 36 U.S. House representatives, that would be your congressmen, ladies and gentlemen, have signed on as sponsors or co-sponsors of House Resolution 635. And what would House Resolution 635 do? create a select committee to look into the grounds for recommending Bush's impeachment. What? What? The two of the latest co-sponsors were Jesse Jackson Jr. and Chaka Fatah. You know, we've had Representative Conyers on this show, been talking about this. We've been talking about this for years. It's nice to see others come on board. They're saying that, and I quote, the Bush administration must be held accountable for the failures in their Iraq war policies. Congress has a constitutional obligation to determine whether this disastrous Iraq policy is the result of deceit and deception or simply reckless incompetence. Reckless incompetence. Providing the Congress and the American people with the opportunity to seek the truth regarding the facts and fabrications that led our nation into Iraq war is why I am supporting this. Betty McCollum, another recent co-sponsor. Huh. Here they are, the 33 self-described progressives. I'll pray for them so that they get towards the word liberal. Representative Becora Bordalo, Corrine Brown, Sherrod Brown, Carson, Christensen, Cleaver, Cummings, DeFazio, Delorio, Evans, Frank, Tubbs, Jones, Kaptur, Kilpatrick, Kucinich, Lantos, Markey, McGovern, Miller, Holmes, Norton, Pastor Rush, Soriano, Slaughter, Thompson, Udall, Watson, Watt, and Waxman. And two of the people, and they are the members of the Progressive Caucus, who have not signed on are two of the four Democrats on the House Rules Committee. In the Senate, Boxer and Harkin are currently the two co-sponsors of Russ Feingold's censor bill. There's only two senators that have signed on to a censor. A spokesperson for Representative John Conyers said that Conyers is continuing in his regular efforts to lobby for the bill. What's this? Three Democratic senators, and I'm using the word out of the newspaper because it's not a word that I would normally use to describe United States Democratic senators. They blasted Bush for having claimed he has the authority to defy more than 750 statutes. We're a government of laws, not men, said Harry Reid. It's not for George W. Bush to disregard the Constitution. Senator Patrick Leahy of Vermont accused Bush and Vice President Cheney of attempting to concentrate ever more government power in their own hands. You know, I think I know how to put together some words that can insult you, can hit back at you, can make you. You know, I know how to put together some words. When you're in a fight, when you're in a war, you should be able to talk tough and get at the heart and make it clear. And this statement from this statement from Patrick Leahy, this is what he says when he's mad. And now you understand why the Democrats in the Senate are such weak folks. This is what Leahy says. Okay, George Bush has said, bump all y'all. I'm a roll how I want to roll. I'm a do what I want to do. I don't have to follow no stinking law if I don't want to. That's what Bush has said. Here's what Patrick Leahy has said that Bush said. The Bush-Cheney administration has cultivated an insidious brand of unilateralism that regularly crosses into an arrogance of power. What are you saying?
the Bush-Cheney administration has cultivated an insidious brand of unilateralism that regularly crosses into an arrogance of power.
Huh? See, that's why y'all don't, that's why y'all have gotten nowhere. Those are fighting words? That's putting somebody in their place? Insidious? Put somebody in their place? Unilateralism talks about somebody's mama? Come on. You're in the middle of a fight. You're supposed to be making it plain for the American people to understand the lawlessness of Boy George. Instead,
the Bush-Cheney administration has cultivated an insidious brand of unilateralism that regularly crosses into an arrogance of power.
You know, shut up and sit down. Because you don't know how to talk. And you too busy trying to come up with ways of saying, how do I sound the most feckless? How do I make sure that people know that I ain't stepping out here now, for real? Throw in the word insidious. Throw unilateralism. Those Republicans won't get mad if you say unilateralism. Unilateralism. Now, if you call him a lawless crook, a lawless liar. You call him a criminal. See, they're going to get mad at you. Just say that he has cultivated an insidious brand of unilateralism. Now, those are fighting words. Cultivated. You said, what about my mama? In cultivating an insidious brand of unilateralism. The scope of the administration's assertions of power is stunning and chilling. Assertions of power. Ooh, and Ed Kennedy. Ed Kennedy. And, you know, he was just as tough. I guess he knows how to do fighting words, too. Ted Kennedy said, the Bush administration, abetted by a compliant Republican Congress, is undermining the checks and balances that guard against abuses of power by any single branch of government. Can I have another cup of tea, please? You know, y'all need to shut up and sit down. You have, all of you, have been in Congress for a billion years. And you have plenty of speech writers out there. When George Bush just broke the law, he says, I don't have to follow any stinking law. I don't want to bump y'all. This, he's handed you on a silver platter the means of his own destruction. He's handed you the gun and the bullets to take him. And you say he's undermining the checks and balances that guard against abuses of power. You know what? Shut up. Shut up. Whew. Legal scholars have said that nobody's ever broken the law like this before. 750 times George Bush looked into the law books and said, this don't apply to me. Since when does the law apply to me and what I want to do? 750 times. And all the this is what a Democratic blasting feels like. The Bush-Cheney administration has cultivated an insidious brand of unilateralism that regularly crosses into an arrogance of power. Ooh, Lord. Are you clear now? Are you clear? Why the Democrats are doing... Why this... Anything that the Democrats are winning right now is not because of what they are doing or saying. It's happening despite them. Undermining the checks and balances that guard against abuses of power by any single branch of government. Shut up. Shut up. Whew. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Taking a break. I'll be back at you. Don't forget, I'm in the next hour at the St. Louis Public Schools. Watch. I was at the meeting last night. Whew. We have a lot to talk about. Stay with me.
Sit. I remember when we used to sit in a government yard in Brooklyn.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Air National Guard. Westbound 270 between New Halls Ferry and New Florissant. Look for no problems. Report eastbound 40 from 141 to Mason. All looks good there. Eastbound 44 from 141 to Merrimack River Bridge is on the move. Northbound 270 from Sappington all the way into Gravois. Traffic is easing after earlier road work. All roadways are now open. Eastbound 40 from Boyle to Vandeventer. Look for road construction to lay out. And the center lane is closed briefly, and then the left lane is closed. So just use caution as you roll through a lot of these construction sites that are still up at this hour. All approaches to the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect slow traffic this morning, as well as the King Bridge traffic from the Illinois Bank all the way into the Cleves Landing. Look for normal traffic. Northbound 141 from Gravois to Olive, there's some construction there. And Route 21 at Route B, there's a report of an injury accident in Jefferson County. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Air National Guard. Job description, guarding America and defending freedom. The Air National Guard is looking for someone just like you. Great training and college benefits available. Find out more at goang.com. That's goang.com. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Showers and thunderstorms likely today. High in the upper 70s this evening. Showers and thunderstorms likely with a low in the mid-50s for Thursday. Showers and thunderstorms throughout the day and the evening hours with a high in the 70s and a low around 50. And Friday, mostly cloudy with a high in the upper 60s. Currently, we have 61 degrees and cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 60 in clouds as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. Up next, we'll have another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else, where else, where else? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, everything right here in the city where you live. This is the only full-service Sears in the entire city of St. Louis. So you can get your big screens, you can get your small screens, you can get your tractors. How about a tractor? How about a lawnmower? Get on over to Sears at 3425 Union, get your shop on, and tell them I told you to.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
How do you become a hero at work? It's easy. Just drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard. Your friends at AM 920 will draw a new winner every week beginning Friday, March 10th, and deliver a basket of goodies on Monday to the winning workplace. Contest ends May 29th, 2006. No purchase necessary. Employees of WGNE Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. The WGNE Workplace Hero from the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays at 12 noon for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. I learned at an early age that animals matter to me. Every week, we'll share your stories. We'll discuss issues that matter most to you and your companion animals, from breed-specific laws to puppy mills, and answer your questions about pet care as well. You'll also enjoy our special guests as they share their tales. It's an hour of fur, friends, and fun every week. Join me, Randy Grimm, for Animal Tales every Friday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU. Woof.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Holding back these, thinking about the fear I've had so long. When somebody hears, listen to the fear that's gone.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. My goodness gracious. If you want to, once again, toll-free, long-distance me, do that. And I do want to remind you that I am looking for interns. I am, the Wake-Up Call is looking for interns. You can contact me by calling me at 367-2743, or you can email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@LizBrown.com. Looking for interns for this summer. It's a great opportunity. You can get, we will work with you to make certain that if you your university offers college credit for it, we will work towards you to fulfill all of those requirements so that you get college credit for this. You'll be doing all kinds of things, talking to all kinds of people. One of the things that the interns from last year talked about was how amazing it was that they got to talk to people like Danny Glover. They got to meet or talk to people like John Conyers and work with all kinds of people out there. So People really enjoyed it. It's a great experience. So if you have a son or a daughter or a grandson or a granddaughter or a niece or a nephew, someone that is looking for a really, really fun way to spend the summer, have them give me a call at 367-2743 or email me at revolution@lizbrown.com if you want to be a wake-up call intern. 1-877-920-WGNU. I was looking at the response. I wanted to wait a day to see how it all came down. The response of the immigrant movement yesterday, a couple of days ago. I wanted to see how it all worked out yesterday. And what is fascinating to me is that there are elected officials in California, Hispanic elected official, Latino elected officials that are getting death threats. There are they're getting phone calls, and people are asking to find ways to kill them. And it's amazing to me. We're going to be talking about on Eye on the Lou on Thursday. We're going to be talking about the anti-immigration bill that is going through the House. And the English language only legislation that has gone through the House. Who voted yes for that? And I can't help but feel this amazing history, or an amazing, not history, but amazing energy of intolerance. This bunker down attitude, this bunker down energy, this rage, if you will, directed at immigrants. And it's kind of like, this immigration piece is kind of like Katrina is doing what Katrina has done. Rip the cover, what remains of the tattered cover, about what people stand for and what people are about in this country. The hate, the intolerance, the ugly American that is here. And you know what, I would say this. I have been loath to find an example of the same kind of fury. I wonder, let me just ask this, and I don't know this for sure. I don't know the stats on this. I wonder how many death threats the president of Exxon has gotten compared to Latino elected officials in California. I wonder if they're the same. Just asking. T.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. You know it was zero death threats. Isn't that a form of terrorism? Isn't that terrorism?
Yes, it is.
And when you call and threaten folks like that, and especially elected officials, where's the security? Where's the government? Where's the police? Where's the CIA? Where are the people that's supposed to investigate that?
Mm.
You know, and I'm just wondering if that did happen to some of these oil companies. That's a good point. That, and they would be out of their minds. They would be going crazy. But that just goes to prove that they're pushing the right buttons.
Well, and it also goes to, it shows to Goya that What is it that drives people to the ultimate act of violence? Is it something that actually has a real impact on your life? I mean, gas prices has a real impact on your life. You're not as angry, and nobody should be trying to kill anybody. But it's fascinating from a sociological, from a psychological place. It is fascinating that it appears, and I don't know it for sure, but it appears that there are more death threats to people who are Hispanic in California than there are to the oil people. That's fascinating. That is a fascinating.
You think? Mm-hmm. Well, like you say, wouldn't you think?
Okay.
So, but don't try to feed your family. Don't try to do anything. And once you go against, you know, as long as we can, you know, serve them and wait on their kids and do all those things, we're good. But don't try to better yourself and do what's right.
And I'm telling you, you need to listen on tomorrow when Irene and I talk about this legislation that has been introduced in the House and this English-only legislation that has been voted on by some of the elected officials that have said yes to this and the Democrats that have said yes to this. It's amazing. It is truly amazing.
What Democrats? I'm talking about nationally, that is.
Well, this is a local issue, so I'm talking about...
I know.
But all right.
I'm disappointed with our leaders of the nation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, thank you, T.
All right. Thank you, ma'am.
Taking a break. Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you hear to sing?
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Washington. The CIA has launched an internal investigation into the activities of its executive director, Kyle Faugho, pertaining to his connections to a couple of defense contractors that have been accused of bribing congressmen and Pentagon employees. Faugho was the apparent overseer of contracts from one of the companies that paid bribes to jailed Congressman Duke Cunningham. He took over $2 million in bribes to grease the wheels for defense contracts. Faugho is also a good friend of Brent Wilkes, who is listed as the number one co-conspirator in the Cunningham investigation. Wilkes founded a company called ADSC 10 years ago and got nearly $100 million in government contracts. Faugho was in a position to approve such contracts for the CIA operations in Iraq when he was based in Germany. The CIA says just because Wilkes was his friend does not mean there is any wrongdoing involved. And Dateline Washington. The federal government is making noises that it wants internet service providers to store data from users so that it can be examined by government agencies. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez said in a speech last week that data retention by internet service providers is an issue that has to be addressed because investigations into child pornography have been hampered due to routine deletions of such information. Democrat Diane DeJet is proposing a measure that would retain information of users for at least 1 year after the user's account is closed. Such a law would mean a federal agency such as the FCC could force an ISP to monitor your email messages, any sites you look at, and anything you might post as a blog. The push for a new type of internet service, which would provide a much faster service at a higher price, could eventually be regulated to only communications that meet a, quote, standard of appropriate content, unquote, whatever that standard eventually is determined to be. This is your wake-up call global news update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
This is Alan Brainerd inviting you to join me every Wednesday for Design 411. Whether you live in a mansion or a studio apartment, my guests and I will share new and exciting ways to make your home truly attractive. Please join me, Alan Brainerd, for Design 411. Wednesdays at noon on AM 920 WGNU, where you'll get the 411 on the things that matter most to you.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you Christmas cheer. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you marriage ring and a pomegranate.
Is your church, school, or nonprofit organization holding an upcoming event, or does it have an ongoing program? We can help you get the word out free of charge here at WGNU. Just send a flyer or written information to WGNU Radio Public Service Department, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108. We ask 2 weeks lead time for any upcoming event. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject any submission due to content and time considerations.
If you've ever wanted to hit the open road and chase the fading sun, then the Muscular Dystrophy Family Foundation has got your ticket to ride. 1640 cc, 100 horsepower, chrome steel, and pure cool from the coolest names in the chopper game. A one of a kind with a street value over 75k. And this summer, someone's gonna win it. Why not you? Why not you? Log on to mdff.org to learn more. mdff.org. Live with no boundaries.
How do you become a hero at work? It's easy. Just drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard. Your friends at AM 920 will draw a new winner every week beginning Friday, March 10th, and deliver a basket of goodies on Monday to the winning workplace. Contest ends May 29th, 2006. No purchase necessary. Employees of WGNE Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. The WGNE Workplace Hero from the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 here on AM 920 WGNU.
For the issues that matter most to you, it's AM 920 WGNU. This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 5 every weekday afternoon. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA.
Hey, WGNU listeners, this is Keith Gray from Higher Ground. You can hear me from 11 p.m. to 12 a.m. on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. I look forward to talking to you folks.
Art and Soul Cafe kicks off its Flower Festival weekend at Christ Church Cathedral with its Evolution in Nature event on Friday evening from 7 to 10. Admission is $12 to $15 per person. Art and Soul Cafe takes place on the first Friday of the month from September through June. For more information, call 314-231-3454. Art and Soul news to you from WGNU.
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Call on your name, you came, you did. Just
you say, for that I'll love you forever. You kept your word to me, for that I'll love you forever. A promise is a promise in my eyes.
Oh, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. There are more than 26,000 species of animals, birds, plants, and fish that will be added to the list of those in serious danger of extinction. That's this week. They're going to be added. Thousands of species are to be added or to moved up, or they're going to be moved up to the red list. Guess which? Guess what animal is going to be done? That's going to be done to the hippopotamus. The hippopotamus. And this is they're saying that this is an alarming study. And this is a study that is done by the World Conservation Union. And this is a union that is the most authoritative, they paint the most authoritative picture of the world flora and fauna. They will report that the common skate, once abundant, this is a fish that used to be abundant around Britain, has virtually been wiped out. The skates, sharks are also on the being added to this list of 26,000. Now, this is a report that has taken 2 years to compile. Its scientists from all over the world have added to the research of this, and what is surprising is that the list has added the common hippo. One of the creatures, why are the hippos being added to the list of the red list, up to the red list? Because poachers are taking the ivory from their teeth. One of the creatures that is also predicted to die out is the Yangtze River dolphin. And they're thinking that there are about just 30 of them that are left. So for all practical purposes, they're gone. The endangered species list in 2004 included one-third of amphibians, half of all freshwater turtles. At least 15 species had died out in the past 20 years, and another 12 survive only in captivity. And what's really scary is the fact that many of these animals are becoming extinct without ever having been recorded. A toad from Ecuador, another kind of toad from Costa Rica, the Caramaro bird from Hawaii. Those are three species that have been declared extinct over the past two decades. Britain has 9 critically endangered species, including a mussel, a freshwater mussel, the Atlantic cod, the Scottish wildcat. There are between 1.6 million and 1.9 million species known to science, but the total is usually estimated between 10 million and 30 million. because we haven't really cataloged all of them. There is so much work out here to be done, y'all. Stay tuned for the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. Peter Downs will be joining me. I'm Liz Brown. Hang on.
Was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. Another thing that progress has been made. If you take a knife and knife back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother,
but the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger.
Compared to what we thought the season was going to be like.
A member of the Duke University lacrosse team speaking with ABC TV affiliate WTVD about the scandal that surrounded the group. A stripper hired to perform at a team party's accused three members of raping her. Two students are charged. The student who wanted to remain anonymous in this interview says watching his friends be arrested was one of the most emotional days of his life.
I kept holding on to the fact that maybe this was going to go away, and to see their faces on TV in handcuffs and their expressions, it was tough.
The team's benched for the rest of the season, but the school says it might play next year. Want to buy a soft drink? It won't be an option in most schools coast to coast by 2008. Here's ABC's Luis Schiavone.
The change is the result of pressure from former President Clinton's foundation and the American Heart Association. The growing childhood obesity epidemic has parents and school districts embracing it. Nearly 35 million youngsters will be affected. Under the agreement with participating distributors, the only drinks available will be diet sodas, sports drinks, and waters. The youngest kids will find water, unsweetened juice, and low-fat milk in those vending machines. Luis Schiavone, ABC News.
We learned today about how the government plans to deal with a possible bird flu pandemic.
The worst-case scenario is scary, with a potential death toll of 200,000 to 2 million people. The bird flu action plan puts the burden of containment on local communities, where victims of the flu and people staying home could cripple transportation and overwhelm local emergency services.
ABC's Ann Compton at the White House. A public hearing continues today in Buckhannon, West Virginia. The families of the 12 workers who were killed in an explosion at the Sago coal mine back in January are demanding answers. Investigators are trying to determine the cause of the blast. This is ABC News.
This new Medicare business was pretty confusing to me. With the May 15th enrollment deadline around the corner, I needed answers. I was in Walmart, and the pharmacist told me Walmart and Sam's Club pharmacies accept all Medicare plans. After I enrolled, I just showed her my Medicare prescription drug card, and she filled my prescriptions. And at the Walmart price, you sure get more bang for your prescription book. You can bet I'm going back to Walmart or Sam's Club Pharmacy or walmart.com/Medicare for my Medicare needs.
When my baby left for college, I took some classes of my own.
Left, right, turn.
Dance classes. That's when I started needing a pain reliever for my sore legs. Then I upgraded my computer and had to get a headache medicine, too. For every new pain, I had a different pain reliever. But now I'm all Advil. It's my every pain reliever. Advil works wherever I hurt. And nothing's proven stronger on tough pain than Advil. I'm all Advil. Are you all Advil?
Use as directed compared to OTC pain relievers.
Bad weather may have caused an Armenian passenger plane to crash into the Black Sea today. There were storms at the time of the crash, and investigators don't think terrorism was a factor. All 113 people on board died. You may notice a trend in new music lately. President Bush seems to be a popular subject, and artists aren't exactly lining up to praise him. ABC's Dave Alpert.
President Bush's approval rating is at an all-time low, and it seems like music to Neil Young's ears. On his upcoming album, Living with War, Pearl Jam is also singing out in protest. The Seattle Rockers bashing Bush in their new song, Worldwide Suicide.
I don't really want to fuss and fight.
And the musical anti-Bush movement doesn't end with the rock world. Even the funk group The Coup gets its licks in with the awesomely titled Baby Let's Have a Baby Before Bush Does Something Crazy. Dave Alpert, ABC News.
And I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Report from the WGNU Newsroom.
This WGNU News report is brought to you by McDonald's. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. In the news, opponents of a 444-unit subdivision in Afton want the St. Louis County Council to think before moving forward with the plan. Christine Klinger, the vice president of Metropolitan Congregations United for St. Louis, says they don't have a problem with progress, but serious traffic issues need to be addressed before the villages at Gravois Creek is built.
When there's so many unanswered questions, this vote is purely premature. It's not going to benefit the people of the community who are living here now or those who will reside here in the future. We're asking the county government to slow down and get this plan right.
Klinger says a traffic study done in the area did not take into account the more than 5,800 yearly visitors to Grant's Farm, traffic from the Afton athletic fields, or dismissal times at Corps Jesu Academy. In Alton, the first prison break at the Alton jail is being investigated. 30-year-old Quante Adams, who was being held on federal drug charges, allegedly used a makeshift rope made from bed sheets to escape through the ventilation system early yesterday morning. Alton Police Chief Chris Sullivan says this has never happened since the jail opened 4 years ago.
We had an older facility previously, which was much less secure and was built in the 1920s. And we had a couple of escapes from there, everyone being apprehended almost immediately.
Adams was captured yesterday at a Wentzville motel. A person from the outside who allegedly helped Adams escape has been taken into custody and is facing federal charges. And finally, Senator Dick Durbin is hopeful Congress will act quickly to pass the Water Resources Development Act. The Illinois Democrat says legislators on both sides of the aisle support the bill, which would allow for the modernization of the locks and dams on the Mississippi and Illinois rivers.
Some of them have not been touched for decades, and we're fearful that if they break down, it slows down traffic on the river, reduces price that our farmers and other businesses can receive for their product, and it really hurts the economy of the Midwest.
The legislation would allocate more than $2.5 billion for improvements, repairs, and replacement of the existing locks and dams. Durbin says without that money, there's a greater risk that the locks and dams will break down. And that's WGNU News, brought to you by McDonald's. Try the new Asian salad at McDonald's. Orange glazed chicken, mandarin oranges, snow peas, red bell peppers, almonds, and fresh greens with low-fat sesame ginger dressing. McDonald's, I'm loving it. I'm Peyton Colston reporting for WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Midas. Trust the Midas touch. Telegraph at 255. That on-ramp is reopened after an earlier accident. Westbound 44 at Pacific Viaduct. Look for a construction area. The left lane's closed. Westbound 255 from Coke all the way into Lehigh Ferry. Expect normal traffic. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry and New Forest with slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 40 from 141 and Mason. Look for traffic to be building there. Eastbound 44 from Bowles of Soccer Park looks good. Northbound 270 at Gravois all the way into 44. Look for slow traffic there as well. Eastbound 70 from K to Mid Rivers is slow traffic in pockets. Northbound Route 3, the westbound 5570 approach and the westbound 64 approach onto the PSB. Look for very heavy volume going on this hour. And Martin Luther King Drive Bridge westbound at Laclede's Landing. Look for slow traffic there as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Midas. Trust the Midas touch. What's the most important feature on your car? Midas believes it's the person who does your brakes. Don't trust your brakes to just anyone. Trust America's leader in brakes. Trust the Midas touch. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Showers and thunderstorms likely today with a high in the upper 70s. This evening, showers and thunderstorms likely with a low in the mid-50s. Thursday, mostly cloudy, a 50% chance of showers, high around 70. Thursday evening, mostly cloudy once again, a 30% chance of showers with a low around 50. Then on Friday, mostly cloudy, high in the upper 60s. Currently, we have 62 degrees and clouds. at AM 920 WGNU. Lambert Field is reporting clouds and 61. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. It's St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you listen?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
And people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife and run back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal freedom.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
This is St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly in-depth look at developments affecting the education of our children.
Welcome, welcome, St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I'm Liz Brown. Good morning, Peter Downs.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Very good. Last night we had an administrative meeting. Is that what happened last night?
Yeah. Well, we ended up having two meetings last night.
Yes, I know. Tell us what the two meetings were.
We had the first meeting was they call it a study session on the budget.
Mm-hmm.
Originally it's going to be closed. Ended up being open after I sent an email pointing out that wasn't the budget is not a valid topic for closing a meeting.
And then,
we had the administrative meeting.
Okay, so I was at both of those meetings last night and called back to one of them because I was told it was closed and came back to it. The budget piece of this is interesting to see what was there, what was not there, the explanations that weren't there. It was a very, very interesting thing. I thought that Craig Williams, the five indicators for the issues that pushed the board or that moved his decision on where the money was going to go. And I guess when you look at those five things, I'm still kind of curious about some of the decisions that they made. When you were given looking through this information, were there any particular numbers or figures that jumped out of you as a little odd in the budget?
Much has happened since that discussion. Just the discussion. I don't know. There were some numbers that jumped out. Well, the first thing, we actually spent quite a bit of time discussing this without, I think, getting satisfactory answers.
That's one of the things that I noticed, Peter. It's like I always feel the lawyer in me coming out when I'm listening to you all ask them a question, because they're always, it seems to be, you have to ask them three or four times to get a response to the direct question that you've asked. And if you don't, they will give you something, and if you don't come back and say, but my question was this, you're rarely given on the first take an answer to your question.
Yeah, there's one on the top of my mind that fits what you were describing. I'll get to that in a minute. But it's the first number that jumped out at me in terms of expenditures is that they're going to cut 300 teaching positions next year. And like Roberti, he's careful to say, oh, we aren't cutting teachers, we're cutting teacher positions. You know, teachers are going to retire and this, that, and the other thing. Or they're filled by long-term subs, so there's no cut in teachers. But they're cutting 300 teaching positions. And we've seen this for several years, mm-hmm. and I pointed out, we see this, they say, oh, we're cutting positions, we aren't going to need long-term subs. But it's not the budget, it's not central office really saying, oh, how many teachers do we need that drives whether or not we need long-term subs. It's the kids showing up to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we have enough children to make a classroom that needs a teacher, they need a teacher, whether we've hired one for it or not. And we ended up, and every year, you know, we've seen this kind of, counting tricks from Roberti, the two budgets he did. Mm-hmm. We saw it last year, and now I said, you know, it looks like we're seeing the same thing again, saying, well, we're going to save money this way, but every year in the past, kids show up to school, there aren't teachers, there aren't enough teachers, we put substitutes in their classes,
or we
they aren't learning, they aren't learning because they have substitutes, but we still have to pay somebody to be there.
Or we overcrowd the classroom so that other teachers have more kids than they should have.
Yes.
So one of the questions that you asked was,
William Purdy asked a question and about how many kids do we expect to have next year?
And I was sitting
and we couldn't get an answer. I told him, I said, they're talking about 2 years ago about how much revenue it'll bring in, and the question is not the revenue. The question is how many kids we will have, because that will drive the number of teachers we need.
And Craig Williams said, I'll get that information to you.
Yes, yes.
Finally. But the question is such a well-taken question. How many kids... Oh, and also that Veronica asked, or someone said, what is the process that is used to determine, to project what the kids, kids are going to be in the school? What's the process? I'd like to know what the process is. And then Craig would look, is she gone? Go get her. Bring her back to answer that question. And I was 12 once, you know, and I know that if you distract your parent, you know, over here, that the hope is that they will forget to come back to that issue that they were grilling you on in this. And that's what I kind of felt like, that go get them, that Craig Williams kept saying throughout the meeting, go get you're the superintendent. Your people are supposed to be there to answer questions about the budget, and he kept sending for people in and out to answer your specific questions.
Right.
And it felt like this is an opportunity. Well, hopefully they won't come back to that question by the time this person gets down here. That's what it felt like to me watching this. So what was the answer about the projected number of students? Not much how much money those little babies bring in on their baths. What's the projected number of students for next year?
We never got that answer. When he said he would get it for us, presumably sometime in the next few days or something, we'll get an email or a letter from the board office or something saying what it is, but we didn't get it.
Well, then how do you justify the elimination of 400 teaching jobs? And I'm looking at this budget, look at $34 million for our charter school payments. Christ. And that's an increase of $3 million. I'm looking at $1.2 million for lawyer fees. You know, why do we need to lose 300 teachers? Can you answer that?
Yeah. I don't have an answer.
So what can we expect from this particular administration, from the superintendent, in terms of an answer to this? Is that something that you all are going to be following up on? Is that something that's going to go into the determination of whether or not this budget is accepted? How does that work?
I think we have a lot of questions about the budget. As we went through the way he had it organized, they report out by some particular codes they have. And there were clearly ones, as we go through, that the superintendent himself said, you know, these things are their blank spaces. And it's like, oh, yeah, we need, you know, we need dollar figures in there. There's that, and as he says, first iteration. But I know that Bill Purdy has asked for a lot of these categories to be re-reported to him by location.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
So, for example, we have administrative salaries here. When he said they're increasing, going to have six more administrators, and that's because we're starting these new schools.
Okay.
So Bill said, we'll report by location. Then you see how many of those administrator salaries are downtown and how many are actually in the schools. We have these, there's a category later on, a big category, a catch-all category, general supplies or something like that. Hard to look through this thing while on the day. Mm-hmm. Here is general supplies, which has over $4.5 million. Again, if that is reported out by category, you see, all right, what supplies are actually being used in the schools, and which ones are, is there a big number downtown which is hiding something else?
Because Craig Williams made a big production of saying, well, I got rid of the categories that said other. You know, I got rid of all of those, but what you've done is created other categories that have huge numbers but no breakouts. We don't know what that money is going to. And what I also thought was kind of odd, and tell me if this was normal procedure, for instance, in the trophies and awards category, it was $110,000, and it is now $80,000, a loss of $30,000. And he said, well, we need to add more to that. Add more to that, because he wanted to add more back into that.
Right.
In the middle, I mean, this is the budget that you've been given, and they're adding stuff, as you said. And then there was a $340,000 amount that wasn't included in the budget, that should have been included in the budget. That big number that, it was a $420,000
For security guards. For security guards at after school events.
$420,000 that was taken out of the budget, and now they said, oops, we need to put for overtime for security at sporting events, and now added into the budget. So technically, I'm not a person that puts together budgets of this size, but that's a lot of money to have to go find, isn't it? $420,000 to your budget?
Yes.
And one of the things that I thought was really interesting, Peter, was as I was looking through these other function details, like on the last page, and the budget is a $380 million budget, almost $381 million. We hear Craig Williams talk about... We want to get parents involved. We want to bring make the connect with the community and the parents. And I'm looking at parental involvement, a grand total of $754. $754 expended for parental involvement. Do you think that there is any kind of sincere effort here out here to get parents involved with a $754 budget line?
Yeah, and I hadn't looked through those pages yet, so you're ahead of me on that, but that's a nominal sum. That's enough to put up a sign somewhere.
Okay, and here's another piece. When you go up a little bit further at line 2661, security guard service, $4 million? What's that?
Yeah, over $4.5 million for security guards.
$4 million? Huh? And we are eliminating 300 teaching positions? $4 million, don't you, there needs to be a bit of a breakout on this $4 million number to find out why on earth it costs $4 million for security guards for the school district, doesn't it? I mean, does that number seem a little odd to you?
Well, I would have to do some math, and they got something like 130 security guards. So if you divided the $4 million by 130, you'd come up with, an average salary.
Okay.
And like I said, that's not something I can do quickly in my head here.
Okay.
But that would give me an idea as to whether or not there's something there besides, if we come up around $30,000, $35,000, then
then that makes sense.
If it's something like $80,000, say, all right, there's something else here.
And then there's something, this is just the way that my mind works. On the first page of this special breakout down at the number 1211. What is a mentally retarded class? What are mentally retarded classes?
Those are classes, classrooms for mentally retarded children.
But what are special, they also have special ed at 1249. What's special ed and what's mentally retarded?
Well, it's special ed. We have a lot of kids in the district who have special ed services who are not mentally retarded. But there is specific, my understanding, and I might be wrong on this, but I think there is specific funding from the state or the Fed specifically for mentally retarded children. So that's where you have a separate budget item for that. But you have children who are who have behavior problems, behavior disorders, they require special ed treatment, but they're not mentally retarded. They're normal intelligence.
Okay.
You have children with hearing problems, vision problems. Again, they would be under the general special ed rather than, their intelligence is fine. They aren't mentally retarded.
So these numbers, these pages right here, these function by details, give a little bit more specificity than the numbers that you all were discussing last night.
Yes.
And Craig Williams was taking pains to go through each one of these. But these numbers also kind of, when I look at contracted legal services on the second page of these special numbers, we have a general counsel bill of $319,000, and then we have a contracted legal counsel of $1.8 million. I just have to, wonder. How much?
And that doesn't match what we were looking
no,
at.
No, it doesn't.
Earlier.
No, it doesn't match that at all. And then, those are just some of the questions that I have about this particular budget. Are there other questions that you all raised when you were when you were talking to Craig Williams about this? Some of the other issues.
Books
were one.
Mainly
of them.
Trying to understand what each of these items were. The textbooks was one, because you have this, and I don't understand what's going on here. You have a textbooks direct purchase going from $1.9 million this year to $4.4 million next year. And his explanation is, we aren't spending any more. We're just centralizing it all, so schools aren't spending any of their own money on textbooks. Okay, fine, but then you go down two things, the library books, which goes from $440,000 this year to $50,000 next year. That's because we're decentralizing that. So instead of doing that centrally, schools will be spending their own money on library books.
And we've emptied out the warehouse and the warehouse. We've emptied out the warehouse. We no longer have the warehouse. There are a lot of this budget has raised a lot of questions.
Yes.
What I also want to talk about is what's not included in this budget. This is a general operating budget, right?
Right.
So we didn't get the budget as it pertained to Sodexo. Specifically, we didn't
specifically
get
Sodexo is supposed to be included here
under $34 million
under other professional and technical, which is $30 million.
Okay.
That includes Sodexo. That includes the truancy programs. It probably includes Alternatives Unlimited.
But Aramark is not included in this.
Right. Aramark is not there.
Because that's
food
one of the
service
things,
is a completely separate fund.
And you need to see. And you need to see why wasn't the food services included as part of this budget? Because that's $380 million. Is this the total amount of money, or is this just for the general operating?
No, this is just the general operating budget.
So why weren't you given the other budgets as well? If this was a budget,
you know, that wasn't talked about there, so I don't know.
Okay.
Probably because the general operating budget is the one that we have more leeway on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a food service eye, and it would be interesting. It's a worthwhile question to find out if there's anything for Aramark
mm-hmm.
in the general operating budget. Because remember, under the Roberti year, one of the justifications for Aramark, and I'm not saying it's true, but one of his justifications was, food service is spending more than just the money for food that comes from the federal government. We are spending general operating money as well.
Okay, so that's a question that needs to be addressed or answered. Also, do you think that there needs to be a breakout of the specific Sodexo money that's being paid, that's coming through this budget? Because as I look at it, there's no real clear way to see how much money Sodexo is being paid by this district.
Right, right. I mean, there are certain things we know are Sodexo. Building custodial services is under that function detail.
Mm-hmm.
Is, you know, 20,
but other stuff is included
minutes.
In that.
Or
are there other things?
I don't think there are. But,
okay.
but that wouldn't be all of you. Building engineering services, architecture and engineering services. You know, we don't have engineers on the district anymore. All that's outsourced to Sodexo. Building commissioner is almost $500,000, but we don't have one.
Mm.
I mean, really, yeah, I mean, there might be someone with that title now, but there's one person and there's nobody
underneath him.
Mm. You know, so that probably reflects money that is also going to Sodexo.
So then that would be a worthwhile project to get a specific breakdown of where is the Sodexo money going.
Yes, yes.
Okay, we need to take a break. When we come back, I'd like to talk about the Kwame issue that occurred at the board.
Right.
I also would like to talk about the Cleveland High School issue that came up last night at the board.
All right.
And also, there's something happening, I guess, was it Friday night? Friday night? Is it Friday night or Saturday night?
This Friday.
Big event this Friday night. And the school board, of course, is next week, Tuesday
next
at
Tuesday.
7 o'clock. My name is Liz Brown. This is St. Louis Public Schools Watch. Get to me.
Is in a village called Jufaray, and Roots was voted by Alex Haley. Miss Liz, we had our Awards Day program, and I received an achievement trophy. Have a good summer. Dr. Busby from 209 for Dignity. Rise Supreme. Love you.
Love you. Thank you.
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's LIZZ. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September. St. Louis Connect Care is sponsoring a special event to help women find out more information on how to take better care of themselves, both physically and mentally, in order to lower their risk for disease. Just for You, for Women Only, will take place on Monday, May 15th, in the elegant setting of the Portfolio Art Gallery, 3514 Del Mar. Attendees can tour the current gallery showing of fabrics, quilts, and purses, and then enjoy heart-healthy refreshments. This event will also offer health screenings, health counseling, and health education to women from low-income families and who are currently uninsured. Plus, there will be some wonderful demonstrations that women can use to relieve stress, things like chair massages, acupuncture, and Reiki. Plan to take a few hours and be good to yourself. Attend Just for You, for Women Only, on Monday, May 15th, from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Portfolio Art Gallery, 3514 Del Mar. Call 879-6231 for more information. Sponsored by St. Louis Connect Care. Still connected to the community.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown, and I'm here with a reminder to you. Our school board meeting for the St. Louis Public Schools is Tuesday, May 9th at 7 p.m. at Car Lane School. Our obligation did not end on the day that we voted. We must all attend our school board meeting, 7 p.m. this Tuesday at Car Lane. I'll see you then.
Hi, everybody. This is Mike Huzz. Join me Thursday nights after the 7 o'clock news right here on Radio 920 as we circle the bases. Join my roundtable guests and myself as we talk about what's happening in the world of sports, baseball, football, basketball, hockey. Yeah, we'll even talk a little NASCAR, and yeah, we'll even talk a little poker. We'll circle the bases. That's what the show's all about. 7:05, Thursday night, right here on Radio 920.
Need cash today? Visit mousecash.com without delay.
Good morning, St. Louis. 34 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock, day of 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Account Temps. Eastbound 70 at Adelaide, the off-late ramp is blocked due to a disabled tractor trailer. Westbound 44 at Pacific Viaduct, look for a left lane closed. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry into New Florissant, look for slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 40 from Timberlake Manor, look for stop-and-go traffic in pockets as well. Eastbound 44 at Bowles and the Merrimack River Bridge looks good. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry to Marshall, heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 70 from K to 79, look for heavy volume there as well. And westbound 40 at Market, look for it to be closed due to maintenance work. And all the approaches on the Poplar Street Bridge are stacked at this hour, as well as westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank to Laclede's Landing. Look for slow traffic there as well. Union Boulevard to St. Louis Avenue, there is a report of an injury accident. And McCutcheon at Clayton, look for fallen power cables. And they're directing traffic around this area slowly at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Account Temps, the world's first and largest specialized temporary financial staffing firm. Call or visit them today at accounttemps.com. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, showers and thunderstorms likely, high in the upper 70s. Thursday, mostly cloudy. Another chance for showers, high around 70. And Friday, mostly cloudy, high in the upper 60s. Currently, we have 61 degrees and clouds. Lambert Field is reporting 63 and clouds as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call, St. Louis Schools Watch. That's next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Need cash today? Visit mousecash.com without delay.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown, and I'm here with a reminder to you. Our school board meeting for the St. Louis Public Schools is Tuesday, May 9th at 7 p.m. at Carr Lane School. Our obligation did not end on the day that we voted. We must all attend our school board meeting, 7 p.m. this Tuesday at Carr Lane. I'll see you there.
How do you become a hero at work? It's easy. Just drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard. Your friends at AM 920 will draw a new winner every week beginning Friday, March 10th, and deliver a basket of goodies on Monday to the winning workplace. Contest ends May 29th, 2006. No purchase necessary. Employees of WGNE Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. The WGNE Workplace Hero from the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
You don't hear a lot about the new generation of social activists, but Wednesday morning at 8, Liz Brown talks to one young man who is making a difference in New York. Kari Lazar-White is co-founder of the Brotherhood and Sister Soul program in Harlem that provides opportunities for disadvantaged young people. 96% of his youth graduate or get a GED. 80% have been accepted to college. Has he found the secret to reaching at-risk youth? Join us Wednesday morning at 8 to hear the remarkable story of Kari Lazar-White right here on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Don't forget, MELSCASH.com.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Good morning, Miss Liz. This is Kaylin Dixon, call you from the Clee School, second grade room, 209. I'm calling you to thank you for coming to our school and spending time with our class. School is almost out. This summer, I'm going to spend the summer with my family. Thank you, Miss Liz, for the pretty African necklace you gave me. I just loved it. Yesterday, I received an achievement trophy at our Awards Day program. Have a wonderful summer. This is Caitlin Dixon for Room 209. Love you.
Love you.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back. Peter, let's talk about something that has reared its head again at the Board of Election, this issue of a contract management with Kwame. Talk to us about how did this come back? What happened?
Well, how it came back was 1 week ago. There was a special board meeting specifically on air conditioning. Veronica O'Brien had requested that the administration, Roosevelt Brown in particular, come in with a cost estimate for what it would take to do the construction management in-house. That was for the district to do itself. How many people would it need to hire and how much would it cost? And then there was a... and it was Robert Archibald asked if that was the same thing as we were, as the proposed contract with Kwame. Roosevelt Brown said no. Craig Williams said no. Gary Huey said no. And they're kind of fumbling around for what's different. One thing they came up with is that Kwame's contract calls for Kwame to monitor gas usage for some period of time after the new heating and ventilating systems are installed. Bill Purdy and Veronica O'Brien objected that they passed a contract several months ago for another company, Johnson Controls, to monitor gas usage in all schools. And some discussion, well, is that really what they're doing or isn't it? And, leading to really confusion as to who was doing what and how the contracts were different. Robert Archibald proposed, he then proposed putting the Kwame contract back on the agenda. There were six board members present. Fowler was out of town that day, that whole week, I believe. And four of the board members voted to put Kwame back on the agenda.
So here we are a couple weeks later, a couple weeks later at the administrative meeting, and we're discussing this. What I thought interesting last night was the question that was asked, I don't know, by Bill Purdy or by you or by Donna, was the question of where is the report that we asked you for about bringing this in-house? Was that question asked by someone?
Yes.
Was
in different forms. First asked by Bill Purdy.
Mm-hmm.
And the response was, well, we started working on it, but then, you know, the board, members of the board got into negotiations with Kwame, and there was some uproar, who, what? And it turned out, well, that wasn't true. It was basically Gary Huey himself. I mean, the administration went back to talk more with Kwame, and they knocked a few hundred thousand dollars off their price. You know, basically what it came is that since the board had, what this really meant is that since the board had placed the Kwame contract back on the agenda, they had stopped working on what it would cost to do it in-house.
Had the board told them to stop working on that? Didn't the board ask them that at the last time that they talked to them?
Yes, I came back to that. We had asked for an apples-to-apples comparison. I said, look at the services, decide what it really needed, and give us that comparison. What's Kwame's cost? What's our cost of doing it in-house?
And then the most amazing answer came forward. He said, what was the response to give us an apples-to-apples?
They said they can't.
Now, this is an when you all voted this down at the first board meeting where you and Donna were sworn in as members, Craig Williams really, 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 really wanted this. He was pushing hard for this, correct?
Well, Craig Williams mainly has staff push for things at meetings. But I would say definitely that Gary Huey was pushing hard for it.
Well, I remember at the administrative meeting he was pushing very hard.
Oh, yes. At first administrative meeting he was pushing for that, yes.
Okay.
Yes, he was more quiet about it at the regular board
mm-hmm.
meeting.
But he was pushing very hard for it at the administrative
meeting. Yes,
at the
last month's administrative meeting, yes.
Okay, so one of the things that I remember Craig Williams saying and I remember Huey saying was that we've got to do this because we're on a timetable. We only have a certain amount of time for this project to get done, and if we don't get it done, then we're going to lose this bond money. We can't lose this bond money. Tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. Donna Jones asked a question, didn't she?
Yes. Yes, she did. Donna Jones last night asked whether there was a time limit on using the bond money, getting the work done.
How many times did she have to ask before that question was answered?
Several times, three or four times.
And what was the final answer to that?
No, there's no time limit on actually using the money.
Well, it was a time limit based upon what Craig Williams wanted done, but
yes.
Not a time limit with regard to the bond money.
Correct.
And was that a surprise to all of you all?
Yes, it was. You know, we've kept hearing, that as a result of the vote last month, we put this money in danger.
Mm-hmm.
That we have to hurry up and use it or we're going to lose it.
And Donna Jones had also said, well, if there isn't, show me where it says, if this money does have to be spent, show me where it says that it has to be spent. And the answer finally came back is no, that we're just operating on what Craig Williams, the time limit, the time scheme that Craig Williams wants to operate on.
That's right.
Okay, we're going to take a break, folks. I'm Liz Brown. This is St. Louis Public Schools Watch. We'll be back. We need to talk about Cleveland and finish up this Kwame conversation as well. Stay with us.
Good morning, Miss Liz. This is Amir Mahoney calling you from LaCree School, second grade, from 209. Miss Liz,
time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in after the 5 o'clock news every Friday for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage on your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons after the 5 o'clock news on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Need cash today? Visit MelsCash.com without delay.
This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline Jerusalem. The Israeli military is confirming that 17 soldiers and 5 civilians are under investigation for the rape of an 11-year-old girl. The attack is believed to have taken place at an Israeli airbase. Reports indicate the girl's father is in the military, and the family was apparently stationed at the base, which is located in the southern portion of Israel. Investigators say the girl had said she was having willing sex with soldiers and the workers at the base since she was 11 years old. But she's not old enough to give consent, so the rape charges have been filed. The girl's family is now moved, and she is being treated for psychological problems. And Dateline Washington. There is a congressional panel that is conducting an investigation into the means used by Internet web organizations to collect and sell mobile phone user records. And surprisingly, a number of law enforcement agencies have been their best customers. The phone records usually get obtained illegally or through fraudulent means and could not be used in court. The committee has requested that dozens of the web sellers give up the names on their customer lists. Many of the lists are used by debt collectors, but many more are being used by police agencies to avoid getting a court order. Oftentimes, law enforcement officials call a cell phone company and claim to be a legitimate customer, then ask a customer service person to provide them with a copy of their bill. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
Need cash today? Visit MelsCash.com without delay.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
That's right, that's right. Big screen televisions, little screen televisions, they got it all at the only Sears in the city of St. Louis. The only Sears, it's the best Sears. They have the best deals, they have the best customer service. They have everything that you need to get your shop on. You don't have to drive out to a mall. You don't have to drive out of town. You don't have to leave the city of St. Louis because you have your own Sears right here. 3425 Union Sears. Get your shop on. Tell them I told you to.
St. Louis Connect Care is sponsoring a special event to help women find out more information on how to take better care of themselves, both physically and mentally, in order to lower their risk for disease. Just for You, for Women Only, will take place on Monday, May 15th, in the elegant setting of the Portfolio Art Gallery, 3514 Del Mar. Attendees can tour the current gallery showing of fabrics, quilts, and purses, and then enjoy heart-healthy refreshments. This event will also offer health screenings, health counseling, and health education to women from low-income families and who are currently uninsured. Plus, there will be some wonderful demonstrations that women can use to relieve stress, things like chair massages, acupuncture, and Reiki. Plan to take a few hours and be good to yourself. Attend Just for You, for Women Only, on Monday, May 15th, from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Portfolio Art Gallery, 3514 Del Mar. Call 879-6231 for more information. Sponsored by St. Louis Connect Care. Still connected to the community.
I am Laurie Fulkerson. Join me every Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock on AM 920 WGNU. You'll hear stories of people who are just like you that are overcoming obstacles and making the difference in lives of others. And you're invited to share your thoughts. You know, people are what matter most to me, and I enjoy talking with you and helping you reach your highest goals. Join me for the Laurie Faulkerson Show Wednesday mornings at 10 on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss what matters most to you.
You don't hear a lot about the new generation of social activists, but Wednesday morning at 8, Liz Brown talks to one young man who is making a difference in New York. Kari Lazar White is co-founder of the Brotherhood and Sister Soul program in Harlem that provides opportunities for disadvantaged young people. 96% of his youth graduate or get a GED. 80% have been accepted to college. Has he found the secret to reaching at-risk youth? Join us Wednesday morning at 8 to hear the remarkable story of Kari Lazar White right here on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown, and I'm here with a reminder to you. Our school board meeting for the St. Louis Public Schools is Tuesday, May 9th at 7 p.m. at Carr Lane School. Our obligation did not end on the day that we voted. We must all attend our school board meeting, 7 p.m. this Tuesday at Carr Lane. I'll see you there.
Don't forget, MelsCash.com.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Good morning, Miss Liz. This is Casey Marshall calling you from the...
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake-Up Call.
Welcome back. Peter, we were talking about the Kwame issue that's going to be coming up on the board on Tuesday for a vote. So we've had the discussion about there is no rush now. We don't have to have a rush to judgment based upon when the bond money should be spent. So tell us about the philosophy that this board brings to assessing issues like this. Because Craig Williams talked about his 10 points for what he was basing his budget on. Well, there's a philosophy of this board, isn't there?
Well, I think there is. Craig Williams talked about one of his points was contractual efficiencies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this board has a little broader commitment to efficient spending in general.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of these programs we see that were outsourced the last couple of years, which are very inefficient, that we can do better by doing the work ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that is an overarching philosophy, looking wherever we can do it better ourselves, bring it in-house and doing it ourselves.
Bringing it in-house. So
yes.
That's like a sea change from where it has been in the previous 3 years' worth of boards, that everything was out. Now you're trying to bring the things back in.
Right.
And particularly in the issue of these, when you as a board have asked for a report of an apples-to-apples reporting, you haven't gotten it.
We have not gotten that, correct.
So so I guess there's also an example with Cleveland in terms of rushing to do things, and then all of a sudden money's been spent or money's been obligated, and now the whole thing has changed.
Yes, yes. We had a proposal last night presented to us to close Cleveland High School, move the kids to another school.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the funny things about that is that we got, just at the last board meeting, we were handed a big expenditure report for this year, of what the board has spent money on this year. And one of the items there is a contractual obligation. We committed $9.2 million to air-conditioned Cleveland High School.
And now Craig Williams is saying close, or technically he's saying, I'm not closing it, I'm just taking all the kids, all the teachers, all the equipment out of the building, but we're not closing.
Yeah.
We're not closing the building.
That's wordplay. Yeah, we're going to take everybody out, and we aren't going to fix it, and we'll talk to the community about selling it. But no, we aren't closing it.
We're not closing it. Okay. So here we have an administration that said, okay, we need to rush and put $9 million in Cleveland for the air conditioning. Granted, the work hasn't started, but I guess my question is since there is no rush, why would we rush into making this multi-million dollar commitment to Kwame? Because from my understanding of the contract, or my understanding of the relationship, is that while Kwame is saying that this is a year-long deal of $4 million or $3 million or whatever it is, the fact of the matter is that the administration would be able to extend it. And extend it.
Yes.
And extend it.
Greg Williams said it'd be an extendable contract. Yes.
So it's just, it's again, wordplay. So don't we need to kind of like take a deep breath and seriously, fiscally take our time as we make these commitments, particularly with the financial constraints that the district is under right now?
Yeah, I think so, yes. And it just, you know, Cleveland just a second example,
mm-hmm.
right, in terms of rushing with air conditioning. We air conditioned several schools that we then turned around and closed 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we want the schools to be air conditioned. But if we're rushing such that, oh, we're going to change our mind a couple months after doing it and close the school, then the kids don't benefit from that either.
There you go. And then the district is out the money, and we can't make other decisions because we've wasted this particular money or didn't use this particular money up. It just seems like people just need to kind of take a breath and think through and process through some of these things instead of rushing to spend money. When we have a superintendent that was adding $340,000 to the budget last night because things hadn't worked
right.
clear about,
right.
I mean, the budget wasn't done right.
Yes. And I just want to add one thing. For people, you can help us with the budget. You can help us with what our schools need. Come to a party. Donna Jones is planned set up
That's
at
right.
the Carpenters Hall, 1401 South Hampton.
This Friday
at 6 p.m. Come, enjoy yourself, and also help us figure out how to move the school district forward.
And also celebrate our victory. And also have a good time to celebrate our victory. That's this Friday.
This Friday.
At the Carpenters Hall on Hampton.
1401 South Hampton.
1401 South Hampton.
At 6 p.m.
At 6 p.m.
From 6 to 11.
Let's do a celebration. Okay, it's been a long time.
Celebrate.
A long time coming celebration. I'll see you all on Friday night. This is Liz Brown. Peter Downs, thank you so much. We'll see you next week. And the next week is the school board meeting, too.
Yes, see you there.
At 7 o'clock. I'm Liz Brown with Peter Downs. I'll be back in the next hour. Stay with us.
I will never say the progress that you made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound that's below me.
I'm hearing revolution. The air will be brother.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's
for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. What would the government do if the bird flu reached the U.S. and exploded in an epidemic? We'll find out today. ABC's Ann Compton at the White House.
This is the action plan on how communities, businesses, and local governments may have to cope with millions of people out sick and keeping the healthy 3 feet apart to avoid infection. Domestic travel could be banned, but the plan does not close U.S. borders because that won't keep avian flu out. Worst case scenario, there could be 200,000 to 2 million casualties.
Opponents say the plan is too expensive and it's ineffective. Need that afternoon sugar rush at school? As of 2008, tough students in public schools won't be able to buy anything but a non-diet soda. In fact, that's the only place you'll get in the high school. And if you go to an elementary or middle school, you'll just get water, juice, or low-fat milk. And just about everyone is in on it.
Among the companies signing the deal, Cadbury Schweppes, the Coca-Cola company, PepsiCo, and the American Beverage Association, which represents most school vending bottlers.
ABC's Lisa Colagrossi. They couldn't believe their eyes. Gas under $2 a gallon, $3 a gallon, in fact, down to $2.30 a gallon. It went that low yesterday afternoon at a station in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. As you might expect, drivers lined up some twice.
I waited in line then with one vehicle. I'm waiting in line now, and my son's coming back in just a little bit to fill up his truck.
And prices probably won't be that low today. Airline officials think bad weather may have caused an Armenian passenger plane to crash into the Black Sea today, 113 people on board dead. Could be trouble for an L.A. Lakers player, Kwame Brown.
The LAPD says a woman is accusing Brown of raping her in a hotel room somewhere in the L.A. area hours after a big playoff game last weekend. Police point out they are only allegations. Brown has not been arrested. No charges have been filed. Though detectives have notified the L.A. County District Attorney's Office about the case.
That's ABC's Alex Stone, ABC News.
May I help you?
How much is this goldfish?
99 cents.
How's his temperament?
Huh?
Does he bite?
I don't think so.
Is he good with children?
Yeah,
can
I
he
mean,
do any tricks?
Well, he wiggles pretty good.
What if everything in life came with a 115-point inspection? Well, before we certify any Ford Lincoln Mercury pre-owned vehicle, it must first pass a rigorous point-by-point exam. Plus, all Ford Lincoln Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles come with a 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty, including 24-hour roadside assistance.
Is he allergic to seafood?
Just shellfish.
See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
If you have allergies, discover new Aliver Citrus Burst. The instant it touches your tongue, it bursts into action. And you know allergy relief is on its way. New Aliver Citrus Burst is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a great-tasting, quick-dissolving tablet. Get the allergy relief you need to keep going. Try new quick-dissolving Aliver Citrus Burst. Experience the relief. Use as directed.
Before ABC News Money Scope, Market Watch, or cable channels that are dedicated entirely to business news, there was Louis Rukeyser, and now he's gone. ABC's Richard Cantu takes a look at his career.
Rukeyser died at home in Greenwich, Connecticut, after a long battle with multiple myeloma, a rare bone marrow cancer. There was nothing like it when Rukeyser pioneered Wall Street Week on PBS in 1970, delivering pun-filled, common-sense commentary on business and economic news. None more common sense than in a 1997 interview with Ted Koppel on ABC's Nightline.
It's sensible to be cautious about investing money, most especially when the money you're investing happens to be your own.
Wall Street Week ran for 32 years on PBS. Rukeyser was also a best-selling author, columnist, and lecturer. Louis Rukeyser was 73. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Scary trend, one you might remember from your youth. Police across the nation say teens are turning to marigold seeds to get high, thinking that since they're natural, they're safe. But experts say the seeds can cause dangerously fast heart rates and hallucinations. Daria Alvinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
The WGNU News Update is brought to you by the Air National Guard. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. In the news, a region-wide effort will be needed to keep the traffic flowing during the I-64 reconstruction project. That's according to Cambridge Systematics, the consulting firm working with the I-64 task force to study the traffic and economic impacts of the highway rebuild. Senior Vice President Mark Cutler says it isn't as simple as determining minimum capacity on I-64 during rush hour. Cutler says the study must also take into account the major arteries that cross the highway.
All of those bridges that cross the highway are going to have to be rebuilt. And so maintaining north-south traffic and how you sequence those major constructions across the highway are almost equally as important to how much capacity you maintain on the main line of the highway itself.
Cambridge Systematics is the same firm hired by Boston business interests to keep commuters moving in and out of that city during the biggest highway construction project in its history, dubbed the Big Dig. The $160,000 St. Louis study is privately funded. In other news, the release of a former St. Louis area priest convicted of sexual abuse is being delayed. A DuPage County judge this week approved more mental health examinations for Father Frederick Linzicki, who was scheduled to be released last month. David Cloese, the national director of the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests, says he's concerned that there are victims in the St. Louis area.
We strongly suspect that Father Linzicki has molested kids in this area, and we would beg anybody who has knowledge about his crimes to come forward and to contact law enforcement and to get help.
Linzicki was convicted in 2004 of abusing three boys while serving at a parish in the Chicago suburb of Hinsdale in 1984. Linzicki has worked at St. Blaise in Maryland Heights, North American Martyrs in Florissant, St. George in Gardenville, and at DePaul Hospital as a chaplain. And finally, a measure restricting the use of eminent domain for economic development has the go-ahead from the Missouri Senate. The Senate version of the bill places some limitations on when eminent domain can be used and provides for property owners to be paid more. If the State House does not adopt the Senate's changes, the two versions of the bill will go to a conference committee. That's a report of WGNU News, brought to you by the Air National Guard. Guarding America and defending freedom, that's what the Air National Guard is all about. Don't just sit on the sidelines, join the Air National Guard. Find out more at goang.com. That's goang.com. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour, 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Orkin Pest Control Company. Westbound 270 between New Old Halls Ferry and New Florissant. Look for slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 40 from Timberlake all the way into Lindbergh. Look for very heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 44 from Bowles to Merrimack River Bridge. That traffic's building. Northbound 270 from Sappington to 44. Look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 70 from K to 79. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 40 from Market. All look for that exit to be closed due to maintenance work. Westbound 40 from Hampton to Hanley. Look for congestion there. And all your approaches to the Poplar Street Bridge as well as the Martin Luther King Bridge from the gravel pit all the way into Laclede's Landing. Look for slow go there, especially around the 55-70 split all the way from 64 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Very heavy volume going on there as well. McCutcheon at Clayton, there's fallen power cables and they're taking and directing traffic around that area, so you just use caution as you roll up to those. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Orkin Pest Control Company. Did you know that thousands of termites could be attacking your home and you don't even see them until damage is done? The Orkin Man knows. Call 1-800-ORKINMAN and get your free home inspection today. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, showers and thunderstorms likely with a high in the upper 70s. This evening, showers continue with a low in the mid-50s. Thursday, mostly cloudy, a 50% chance of showers, a high around 70. And then on Friday, mostly cloudy with a high in the upper 60s. Currently, we have clouds and 63 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting clouds and 63 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The wake-up call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the wake-up call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Who need help, but you can find it. common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied existence.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 1-877-920-WGNU. And don't forget, my show is archived every day at WhiteRoseSociety.org. So if you've missed an hour, go get your hour at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Email me at revolution@LizBrown.com. Get up, get to me. This morning, we are going to have a very special hour. The first half of the hour, we're going to be talking to the co-founder of the Brotherhood Sister Soul in that's a conversation that's going to be coming out of New York City. We're talking about one of the co-founders, or talking to one of the co-founders. And then in the second half of the hour, we're going to be talking to So Bon Fu. She is an author. She has written The Spirit of Intimacy. She's going to be talking about healing. And she's going to be talking about spirituality. She's going to be making the connect between African spirituality and the healing of our soul. So this is going to be a very full hour. So let's get straight to it. I'd like to introduce you all to Carrie Lizaire White, the co-founder of the Brotherhood Sister Soul, joining us from New York City. Carrie, good morning.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I'm doing well today.
Tell us about your organization. No. Start from the inspiration of your organization.
Well, the inspiration for the Brotherhood Sister Soul, which is a comprehensive youth organization, holistic youth organization based here in Harlem, New York, I think is really twofold. One is coming from a family of activists, of people who have sought to make change in this country. And being raised around, you know, those kind of people, people who, you know, sought to really speak truth to power, always inspired me to make a difference in my life. And I think the second, you know, piece that really inspired me were the kind of words that actually were coming through, you know, your radio station, you know, into my ears. I sat here waiting to come on, you know, the words of freedom fighters in this country for many, many years. People who I feel like we stand on their shoulders, the legacy of the struggle for, you know, equality in this country.
And there's you're connected with, as I call them my babies. I mean, the children in our community. What is it that your organization does that connects so successfully from your perspective? Why is it that your organization is so successful with ensuring a future for our babies? What is it that you do?
I think it's because of the holistic nature that our approach is one where we work with young people over 4, 5, 6, 7 years, providing three things: support, guidance, and love to our young people. I think that the idea is that so many young people are faced with an array of negative influences in their life, too often, you know, facing it in our communities, on our street corners, too often in our schools, and sometimes, unfortunately, in our family environments as well. And that if we want to help young people to not just survive those kind of conditions, but to excel above and beyond them, that we also have to provide the same equal array of positive influences. Of belief in our young people, of faith in our young people, and of opportunity. And that's what we do here every single day.
You see yourself in them.
Without a doubt, and they inspire me every single day. You know, I think that one of the secrets of this work is how supportive it is to those who do it. You know, to work every day with young people who have a true belief that they can change the world, a belief in their dreams, to help them, you know, push away hopelessness and defeatism and instead to embrace possibility is a wonderful, you know, gift to be involved in every single day.
So you provide seminars, you do academic tutoring, and you're in the public schools. How were you able to get into the schools?
Well, we have some connections to, you know, certain principals in the school here in Harlem who, you know, are interested in having us come into the schools. The majority of the young people we get from our immediate community here in Harlem, and we provide intensive rites of passage programs where boys studying with young men what it means to be men and leaders and brothers, where young women study with women what it means to be sisters and leaders. And, you know, we try to create an environment, a rites of passage environment, where these young people can define what these things mean to themselves, to seek to live up to them every day, and that this rites of passage period will go over 4, 5, 6 years and be augmented by after-school care, by educational seminars, by liberation education, by international study programs. Each summer we spend 1 month in Africa or in Latin America helping young people see the world's possibilities, bringing about global awareness, taking young people from their communities to spend a month in Egypt, in Ghana, in South Africa, in Brazil, in places that, you know, help them to claim some of their legacy, their history, and take ownership of, you know, the incredible, you know, exploits of people of color around the world.
And I love the connection that you make with identity. Mm-hmm. Identity really is it's the foundation.
The old parable goes, know from whence you came. If you know from whence you came, there's no limit to where you can go. And I think that foundation is essential to young people. It's something that's both liberating, it's fulfilling, and it's stabilizing. So often young people are not really sure where they come from. And I think an awareness of that is something that really is empowering to young people.
It must be magic to take someone from a child from the United States who's never stepped foot outside of Harlem,
right,
and take them to Ghana. Tell us a story about an experience that you shared with one of your students in taking them from here home.
Well, that was you know, certainly one of the more powerful experiences over the last decade that I have experienced with this organization, and that is taking a group of young people from the African diaspora, young people who are descendants of the African continent but now live here in the United States, and returning to Ghana, to the west coast of Africa, and specifically after a long journey through the country, after spending about 3.5 weeks in Ghana, we came to a small town called Cape Coast, which is on the coast of Ghana. And on that coast is something called a slave castle, which is really on the, you know, the edge of the land, and it's where the boats would pull up and where the door of no return sits, where enslaved Africans would be pushed through a tiny door onto a plank to cross into the hull of a slave ship for the beginning of the Middle Passage. And as we walked into the slave castle, we walked down into the dungeon. And these dungeons, because so many thousands and tens of thousands of people have went through just this one dungeon, it still smells of the very humanity that passed through it over a century ago. And so standing in there, it's dank and it's cold and it smells of, you know, of humanity and inhumanity.
And it's tiny.
It's tiny
and
it's dark.
Tiny and it's
and, you know,
dark.
The floors are seven inches higher than they were built because of all of the skin and the hair.
And the waste.
All that was just pounded down onto the ground. And to stand there with a group of young people, everybody in tears, feeling that, smelling that, sensing it, was an experience I don't think any of us will ever forget.
And the idea that it was a point of no return, I think when visually when people see how small that hole was,
exactly, sure,
that we went through, it's overwhelming.
Yes.
It's overwhelming. So tell us about, you've been doing this since 19, or you started it, you founded it in 1994.
Right.
Tell us about the statistics. Give us the successful statistics of your program.
Well, we really found, you know, a lot of our work around the issue of education, and so that and critical decision making are areas that we look to for success. And so 96% of our alumni have graduated from high school or earned their GED. 81% have been accepted to college, 93% are working full-time or enrolled in college, and that's here in a city in New York where over 54% of black men between the age of 18 to 65 are unemployed. So yet our statistic is 93% are either working full-time or enrolled in college. Zero have been incarcerated or sentenced to jail time, and only 3% had children before graduating from high school, which we also see as a key statistic and outcome, which shows the issue of decision making around sexual protection and child planning.
This isn't, and I'm not trying to diminish your organization in any way, but it's not rocket science. These are simple things, aren't they?
Yeah, I think it just takes will. I think one of the greatest lies out there in this field and around dealing with our young people is that people don't know how to make a difference in the lives of young people and don't know how to provide opportunity to young people. It's, you know, the blueprint is there. It is not that complicated. It takes will, and it takes getting your hands involved in the situation, and it takes certainly financial support to organizations and schools. But the will has to be there, and too many people do not have the will to do it. But I think the blueprint is clear. I agree with you. It certainly can be done.
And future, where do you see yourself and your organization in the future? Is this going to be everywhere in the United States, everywhere in the world? What's your plan?
Well, beginning in the fall, we will begin, quote-unquote, spreading the word, and we will be traveling to 5 different cities throughout the country doing conferences and trainings around our books. We've produced a 230-page curriculum around these issues called Brother Sister Leader, the official curriculum of the Brotherhood Sister Soul, and we'll be training community-based educators and teachers on our approach to youth development, sharing best practices, and helping others to better reach young people in their community to learn from each other. We don't feel we have all the answers in the world, but we have some answers that have proven success, and we like to go to other communities and help people to put some of our practices into place.
What have you learned as a result of founding the Brotherhood Sister Soul?
Learned a tremendous amount. I don't think any issue, though, is something that I've learned more than really faith and patience. I think working with young people every day teaches you both of those things. It teaches you to have patience, to realize it's a long haul. Sometimes people want immediate results, and I say to people who are parents, if you have children, when do you feel that your children will make all the right decisions? When do you feel confident to release them out into the world? When they're 5 years old? When they're 10 years old? And invariably some parent in the room will laugh and say, when my child's 40.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, well, in the same way, if we're working with young people trying to help them to make critical decisions that are positive for their life, don't expect overnight success. Don't expect in 6 months they're making all the right decisions. But it's a long process to make the right kind of emotional decisions for yourself. And so patience is one, and the second is faith. Just every single day seeing success stories, seeing young people here just excelling and achieving and reaching for their dreams every single day in spite of sometimes overwhelming odds. And I think faith and patience are two things I've learned in a very fundamental way through this work.
And in terms of the structural challenges that you've confronted, what has been the most difficult?
In terms of building an organization?
Mm-hmm.
We got in this work, myself and my co-founder, Jason Warwin, to work with young people because that's what we loved. We didn't get in it to run a nonprofit or to supervise staff, to do administrative stuff, to do fundraising, but that's a necessary part of the work. But certainly the work never tires us out or burns us out. But the most difficult piece is continuing to, raise the money to support your full-time staff of 16 people, to support the 200 young people we work with each week, to, support the building that we now own here in West Harlem that is a beacon in this immediate community, which unfortunately is the leading drug community here in the United States right now in terms of distribution. So to do all that, to fight against these outside forces that are inundating us, is the biggest struggle.
And have you made is there a political component to this? Are you finding that as a resource, or did you decide not to include that as part of making your program work? Is there a political component to you?
We believe everything we do is political. I mean, we believe to take this approach of doing, quote-unquote, liberation education, to help black and brown children learn an accurate history and, you know, to really start to question society's deeply political work. But we do not really engage in a lot of policy work or engage elected officials in any deep way. There are some, including some local Harlem elected officials, who are deeply supportive of our work, and so we've built those relationships. But we're not an organization that invests its, you know, its kind of its human capital in, you know, political policy work.
And how many children, how many young people has your organization, that your organization would consider graduates of the Brotherhood Sister Soul?
We have coming up on 200 young people who have moved through the program in different, you know, different aspects of the program, either our liberation program, our rites of passage program, our summer programs, et cetera.
And how do kids get connected to you? Do you go out and get them? Are they recommended to you? How does that work?
Both. We go out and recruit in the schools and let them know what we do. And, you know, the greatest recruiter are our young people. So our young people are always bringing their siblings and their friends and people from their school into the space because they realize that this is their space. If you come in here, our walls are filled with the artwork of young people and the voices of young people. And they realize that it's their home, that this is their space. And so they're one of our greatest recruiters. And then we also just on the immediate block, you know, this is, you know, Harlem has 500,000 people in it just as a community, and the blocks are just very, very intense and inundated with people, and people see our flag flying off of our building advertising the Brotherhood Sister Soul, and, you know, even the outside of our building, our door is painted by our children, and so they see it as a different space, and they invariably come in and ask what we're all about.
And I love the completeness of what you do, bringing in the teacher, bringing in the child, mm-hmm. and bringing in the parents.
Right, without a doubt.
It can't be done without having that three.
That's right. There's no way to do it. I mean, that web of support has to be there. They, you know, young people need many hands in their life.
Mm-hmm.
So for many of our young people, we are another hand in their life, supporting, you know, wonderful families, usually unbelievably strong mothers who are supporting them and giving to them and loving them. At times, unfortunately, we are more or less the closest thing that some of our members have to family, because some mm-hmm. of our families have been, you know, destroyed by, you know, issues around, you know, violence and drugs and AIDS, et cetera. But, you know, whichever way it is, young people need multiple voices and hands in their life to tell them that they can achieve in spite of so much of the negativity that they see around them.
And where can people find out more about your organization and get your books and try to do it in their own community?
They can go to our website at www.brotherhood-sistersoul, and soul is S-O-L, .org. And soul is Spanish for the sun, so Sisters of the Sun.
That's beautiful. I was going to ask you that. Why S-O-L?
So it's the Brotherhood and Sisters of the Sun.
Very good. Mr. White, thank you so much for joining me on the wake-up call this morning.
Thank you so much for having me. You have a good day now.
You too.
Take care.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, the wake-up call. We're going to take a break. I'll be back. We'll be back with So Bon Fu. Stay with us. And then you call me, and it's not so bad, it's not so bad.
Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the wake-up call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September.
Hi, this is Jenny Peterson. I show up now and then on my favorite radio station, WGNU. I hope you'll be there, too. We'll let you know when I'll be on. Keep listening. California, yeah.
You see a world. Need cash today? Visit mousecash.com without delay.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Helzberg Diamonds. Westbound 44 at the Pacific Viaduct. Look for no problems to report. Northbound 55 at Rivas Barracks. There's an accident that's been cleared, but there may be some delays. Westbound 270 from Halls Ferry all the way into New Florissant. Look for slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 44 from Chrysler to 270. Look for congestion going on there. Eastbound 70 from K to 79. That traffic's finally easing up this hour. Northbound 270 at 40 and Ladue. Look for that traffic to be easing as well. Westbound 44 at Shrewsbury. Slight delays as drivers look into a fire on the eastbound lanes. Northbound Route 3 and westbound 5570 as well as westbound 64 at the Poplar Street Bridge. You can expect some delays, but not much as it's returned back to normal. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at LaCleach Landing looks good. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Helzberg Diamonds. A homemade pot holder means the world to her if you are 11. This Mother's Day, give her a gift from Helzberg Diamonds. Stop by or visit Helzberg.com. Helzberg Diamonds, moments that sparkle. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, showers and thunderstorms likely, a high in the upper 70s this evening. Showers and thunderstorms likely with a low in the mid-50s. And on Thursday, mostly cloudy, 50% chance of showers, a high around 70. Thursday evening, look forward to a 30% chance of showers with a low around 50. And then on Friday, mostly cloudy, a high in the upper 60s. Currently, we have clouds and 63 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting clouds and 63 degrees as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU. You.
Don't forget MelsCash.com.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660 and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
The St. Louis Art Museum presents the film Camp de Theroy on Friday at 7 p.m. The film will be shown in French with English subtitles. Admission is $3 for museum members and $5 for non-members. Tickets may be purchased at the door or in advance by calling 314-655-5299. Something for you from Radio Free St. Louis.
St. Louis Connect Care is sponsoring a special event to help women find out more information on how to take better care of themselves, both physically and mentally, in order to lower their risk for disease. Just for You, for Women Only, will take place on Monday, May 15th, in the elegant setting of the Portfolio Art Gallery, 3514 Del Mar. Attendees can tour the current gallery showing of fabrics, quilts, and purses, and then enjoy heart-healthy refreshments. This event will also offer health screenings, health counseling, and health education to women from low-income families and who are currently uninsured. Plus, there will be some wonderful demonstrations that women can use to relieve stress, things like chair massages, acupuncture, and Reiki. Plan to take a few hours and be good to yourself. Attend Just for You, for Women Only, on Monday, May 15th, from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Portfolio Art Gallery, 3514 Del Mar. Call 879-6231 for more information. Sponsored by St. Louis Connect Care. Still connected to the community. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
For the issues that matter most to you, it's AM 920 WGNU. This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 5 every weekday afternoon. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I heard he's saying a good song. I heard he has died. And so I came to see him.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. We have a change in schedule. Our guest, Son Bonfou, will not be joining us this half an hour, but she will be joining us next hour at the bottom of the hour. So we're open for calls and comments this half an hour. I started the week off with talking about Stephen Colbert's routine at the White House dinner. And what is fascinating to me is that Bush's people were ticked off. They left when he was talking. They say that one member of Bush's team or whatever, an aide, I guess is a better word to use to describe him, said that, I've been here before. I've seen that look, talking about the facial expression of George W. Bush. And when I read that, I was thinking, is that like the look that was on his face and his wife's face at Coretta Scott King's funeral when Reverend Lowry was speaking? I wonder if that was the face that they were talking about. And I guess to explain where we are, it was hysterical. It was hard. It was. Stephen Colbert was brutal in his satire. It was brutal. And every bit of it was earned. Every bit of this was earned. I got to say that Stephen Colbert is probably one of the bravest people out there to stand next to George W. Bush and to do what he did. You deserve an award just for that. With this vindictive administration, Stephen Colbert for president. Stephen Colbert. But here's the thing, and I go back to this is where it appears we are. What is the rest of the media saying about what Stephen Colbert what Stephen Colbert did? No comment. They're too scared. That's where we are. The major media people are too scared to even have a comment about what a person who satired this administration said or did. So doesn't it make you kind of wonder on, what kind of news, or doesn't it explain why you're getting the kind of news that you're getting? They're too scared to even say that they were laughing or they thought it was funny. That's where we are. Check this out. One top Bush aide said Colbert crossed the line. Another said that George Bush was visibly angered by the sharp lines that kept coming. I've been there before, and I can see that he's angry. He's got that look like he's ready to blow. Now, here's the thing. It's like somebody asking, have you ever watched Colbert do his stuff? You know what I am. Why would you invite me and then act surprised about how I act when I'm up here? You never met Stephen Colbert? Some of the aides talked about that they were uncomfortable with the fact that the comments kept coming. He was relentless. He absolutely stayed on him. And then it's such an odd time in our history. Colbert, half the aides are saying Colbert crossed the line. He made George Bush angry, blah, blah, blah. And then the other half of the aides saying, well, Bush was funnier. The president was funnier than Colbert. He was a lot funnier. Now, I am not comfortable with the fact that George W. Bush, his idea of humor was to basically a parody of I'm an Empty Suit. He had a Bush impersonator there impersonating Bush, making fun of Bush not getting it. Now, that's not one of those belly laughing, ha ha, that would be like Einstein. I mean, it would be funny if Einstein was doing that, because the joke is that Einstein is smart. It's one of those uncomfortable situations, because you're going to laugh at that. But it ain't funny, because you are an empty suit. It's not funny because you're not bright. It's not so, the joke is an uncomfortable one at best. The joke is uncomfortable at best. So we have this schizophrenia going on in the George Bush camp. One half saying, Stephen Colbert crossed the line, he went too far. And the other half saying, George Bush was funnier than Stephen Colbert anyway. He was funnier anyway. That's schizophrenia, folks. That is a White House that is clearly... They don't know what they're going to do. They don't know how to attack this. They don't know how to deal with this. So they put up two absolutely contradicting things. He was funnier, and the other guy wasn't funny. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. Brenda, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
I'd like to know where I can buy that tape.
Honestly. Honestly. He was hysterical. Did you read it?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you can Google it at the Democratic Cause. It has the whole routine. And just Google Stephen Colbert. And
okay.
you can find it on the net. In fact, when I come back, I'm going to share some of the specifics of it. But he was hysterical. He was absolutely... And I'm impressed, because he's standing next to George Bush and saying this stuff. I'm impressed. I am totally impressed.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Brenda.
Bye.
I'm Liz Brown. We're going to take a break. I'll be back after this. My number is 1-877.
Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
If I could talk to the animals, just imagine it, chatting to a chimp and chimpanzee.
The doctor is in. Shut down the computer, turn off the TV, and introduce your family to the magic of live theater with Dr. Dolittle, the musical. Tommy Toon stars as Dr. Dolittle, the beloved veterinarian who can talk to the animals. This imaginative musical is filled with enchanting singing and dancing, a delightful score, and a parade of spectacular creatures like you've never seen before. A live theatrical event that will spark your kids' imagination. Show your kids what interactive entertainment was meant to be. Experience Dr. Dolittle, the musical, with your family today.
At the Fox, May 16th through 28th in the U.S. Bank Broadway Series. On sale now. Call 314-534-1111 or MetroTix.com. Sponsored by American Airlines.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Beginners can learn about canoeing at the Powder Valley Conservation Nature Center in Kirkwood on Sunday from 1 to 3. This classroom demonstration for ages 16 and up will show canoeing techniques, river navigation, and courtesy. To find out more or to register, call 314-301-1500. Something for you from WGNU.
Need cash today? Visit mousecash.com without delay.
wake-up call global news update. Dateline Phoenix. The Monday rallies and demonstrations surrounding immigration reform have raised some questions about how much foreign influence there is in American politics, how hundreds of thousands of participants in several American cities could be so coordinated with such skill and media savvy leads to questions as to who was or what was the brains behind that operation. The tactics of massive street demonstrations have parallel to tactics used in South American countries to overcome decisions made by voters at election time. And Dateline Atlanta. The state of Georgia has put into place a measure that will allow Bible classes in public high schools. Georgia is the first state to come up with actual guidelines and appropriate public money for Bible teachings. The state school board has until next February to develop the guidelines governing how the courses are to be taught. Court fights will likely follow to determine if what is being taught is the Word of God or the Word of man. This is your wake-up call global news update.
Don't forget, MelsCash.com.
Hello, this is Alfred Gurley, your host of the German Hit Parade radio program. Heard every Sunday afternoon from 2:30 till 4 here on WGNU. Enjoy the beautiful melodies and timely news from Germany as we make your Sunday afternoon just a little bit brighter. The German Hit Parade is the longest-running German program on radio in St. Louis, and I hope you make it part of your weekend listening every Sunday afternoon from 2:30 till 4, right here on AM 920 WGNU.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Hi, this is Jenny Peterson. I show up now and then on my favorite radio station, WGNU. I hope you'll be there, too. We'll let you know when I'll be on. Keep listening.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else do you get your washers, your dryers, your television sets, your refrigerators, your stoves, everything that you need? Of course it's Sears, of course in St. Louis, the only one in St. Louis. Get your tractors, get your, how about a lawnmower? How about some tools? Get on over to Sears at 3425 Union, that's 3425 Union, Sears, where else?
Who's the hero where you work? The receptionist that can balance 12 things at once? The whiz kid that can change a toner cartridge without making a mess? The assistant that finds everything you misplace? Well, now it's your turn. All you have to do is drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard, and you could be the next WGNU Workplace Hero. We'll draw a new winner every week beginning Friday, March 10th. And you'll be the hero of your workplace on Monday when we deliver a basket full of assorted goodies from Great Harvest Bread, Thomas Premium Blend Coffee, and WGNU Radio. Contest ends May 29, 2006. Employees of WGNU Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. So go ahead, be a hero. Visit the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store at 9449 Olive Boulevard. Leave a business card and that's it. You could be the next WGNU Workplace Hero. Sponsored by the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Woo! I got something I want to talk about. Y'all let me in. Time has come to air my feelings. Yeah, there's just so much confusion going down. I'm not the kind to be complaining. But sometimes you got to stand out from the crowd. Everyone got their own opinion, and you know I sure got mine.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, and get up, get to me. I think it's important to continue this conversation about what Stephen Colbert did, simply because it's such a rich commentary on where we are as a nation. It's such a rich, rich, rich explanation of where the cowards are, where the truth is not, and where the lies continue. Stephen Colbert said at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, John Stewart described it as a situation where the media and the White House consummate their loveless marriage. Good line. But Colbert said, when he was standing up there next to George W. Bush, he said, and he was complaining. He complained that, oh, man, I'm surrounded by this liberal media who are destroying this country, except for Fox News. And then he goes on to say that Fox believes in presenting both sides of the issue, the president's side and the vice president's side. That's funny. That is funny. And what is interesting is this whiteout of his performance. And even in the White House perspective of this, even, I guess, what is amazing to me is the fact that the even with all of the non-reporting of the story about Stephen Colbert by the well, the White House doesn't report, but by news media out there, the fact that they have a whiteout of this, Stephen Colbert is still funny. He says that he's still digesting the response, but he said that the silence from the people commenting on what he said, from the news media commenting on what he said it's a respectful silence. And he said, and they care, he said, they carried me out on their shoulders. He said, albeit it was before I was finished. Even then he's funny. Even when he's talking about how the fact that the major media is stone silent on what he said, he's funnier than they are. It's a respectful silence. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. The crowd practically carried me out on their shoulders, albeit it was before I was ready to leave. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. Gary.
Yeah, Liz, was that a racial remark you just made about a whiteout? Was that a racial? Did that have racial overtones to it?
Did it feel that way to you, Gary? Why? Why did it feel that way to you? When I say the word white, it takes you to that place. You need to examine that, Gary. Go talk to your doctor. Get back on his couch. Get back on his couch. You know, I mean, you know, when you hear the word white, it sends you into a, I gotta call Liz. I heard the word white. Go back to your doctor. See if he can up your pills, give you a few more minutes on the couch or a few more hours on the couch, but handle your business, Gary. I appreciate your cry for help, and my directive to you is to get back to your doctor. You left too soon. Keep taking the medication. It'll be all right, honestly. Barbara.
Hi, Liz.
Good morning.
Tell her to go to Rush and get some of those pills she got. Anyway, I was calling to tell you I cracked up about Colbert. I was howling in the bed. I thought it was hilarious.
C-SPAN's going to run it again. C-SPAN.
Oh, okay. C-SPAN, yeah, I thought better. Anyway, I think he did a good job of getting back at that little Jewish lady. What's her name? That chased him all the way to the lady in the car. She's a reporter that's been there a long time.
The one that George Bush won't call her.
Yeah, I mean, that was a good way he paid him back. He said, look, this woman's going to chase you all the way till you get out of office. I don't care who, whether you have the guy up there, Snow's job or whatever. She's still going to be chasing.
Thanks, Barbara.
All right.
454-0400. Andre, good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm outstanding.
I've been enjoying that myself. And actually, you know, it's just a shame that a comedian has more balls than politicians to actually stand up and say what should be said.
And think about how much more they know.
Exactly. And they're, yeah, because they're right there in the intersection.
And they hear all kinds of stuff that we will never hear.
Never, never. But the thing I want to ask you, Liz, is this, because this is something that's really disturbing to me. I keep hearing these reports on the news about the situation with the Duke State rape. And what I want to know is this, because you're in news, do you exactly have to read the print the way it's put in front of you? Because I keep hearing this woman, Daria something, the newscaster, she constantly calls this woman not a mother, not a student, a stripper. This is a woman talking about another woman.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't she have it? What does that say about her consciousness?
Well, there are Jewish people that helped the Nazis get Jewish people into the death camp. So there are people that are self-loathing for whatever reason. And also she's trying to keep her job. I imagine this. I would, you know what? I would bet you, Andre, if we sat that woman down and talked to her about the life that she experiences in the media, she would be able to tell you, if she was going to speak honestly, about episode after episode of sexual harassment that she has experienced in her own gig. But you know, she's self-loathing, and she's trying to keep her job, and she believes that keeping her job is the way to keep her job is to put women down and to demean women and to assault women and to stand up for the issues of the raper as opposed to the rape victim.
But is that a matter of policy?
Well, whose policy? Is she...
Company's policy.
She's keeping her job, Andre, so what do you think?
I just wondered about that.
She's keeping her job.
I know exactly what you're saying, and
all
I agree
right
with you.
Thank you, Andre. 454-0400 is my phone number. Stay with me. I'll be back.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. It was one of the hardest days of his life. That's what a member of the Duke University lacrosse team says. He's not charged in an alleged rape case, but two of his friends are. ABC's Luis Schiavone has a story.
The Duke lacrosse player spoke on camera, but only anonymously and in a blackened shadow. The interview was with Durham, North Carolina, ABC affiliate WTVD. He had this exchange with reporter Darla Miles.
Are you certain that a rape did not occur that night at the party?
Yes, ma'am.
100%.
Yes, ma'am.
As for what actually happened when an exotic dancer entertained the team at a March 13th party, the player refused to offer details.
No comment.
The whole thing, he says, has been a nightmare. Luis Schiavone, ABC News.
How would the White House respond to a bird flu pandemic? We find out today.
The television movie Fatal Contact, Bird Flu in America, airing next week on ABC, dramatizes the potential catastrophic effects.
The avian flu is here.
The White House report is equally dramatic, with specific steps to try to contain any outbreak. Limit international and domestic flights. Quarantine of the sick and those who have been exposed.
ABC's Martha Raddatz at the White House. 7 days and counting, the jury in the Zacharias Moussaoui trial is deliberating again today.
The transcripts of a closed courtroom hearing show Judge Lainey Brinkema does not believe Moussaoui's dramatic testimony that he was supposed to be part of a 9/11 hijacking team targeting the White House. That testimony revived a flagging prosecution case. Brinkema's comments came during a debate over jury instructions, one of which calls Moussaoui's testimony unreliable. She said a defense ruling was a way of leveling the playing field.
ABC's Pam Coulter at the federal courthouse in Alexandria, Virginia. It's day two of a hearing on the Sago coal mine disaster. Yesterday, the families of the 12 miners killed in the explosion demanded answers. Dow down 19 points, NASDAQ off 3. This is ABC News.
May I help you?
How much is this goldfish?
99 cents.
How's his temperament?
Huh?
Does he bite?
I don't think so.
Is he good with children?
Yeah,
can he do any tricks?
Well, he whittles pretty good.
What if everything in life came with a 115-point inspection? Well, before we certify any Ford Lincoln Mercury pre-owned vehicle, it must first pass a rigorous point-by-point exam. Plus, all Ford Lincoln Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles come with a 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty, including 24-hour roadside assistance.
Is he allergic to seafood?
Just shellfish.
See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
If you have allergies, discover new Aliver Citrus Burst. The instant it touches your tongue, it bursts into action. And you know allergy relief is on its way. New Aliver Citrus Burst is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a great-tasting, quick-dissolving tablet. Get the allergy relief you need to keep going. Try new quick-dissolving Aliver Citrus Burst. Experience the relief. Use as directed.
You won't find sugared sodas in the nation's schools by 2008 thanks to an agreement between beverage distributors and anti-obesity groups. Here's ABC's Lisa Colagrossi.
Distributors have agreed to sell only water, juice, and low-fat milk at elementary and middle schools. High schools will only sell water, diet soda, unsweetened teas, and sports drinks.
Cadbury Schweppes, Coca-Cola, PepsiCo, and the American Beverage Association are all in on the deal. So, you say you like iTunes? You're like this.
It's music to the ears of iTunes customers. The price of purchasing a song from the popular online music store will remain 99 cents. Apple Computer says the recording industry, which wanted the company to charge more for new releases, has agreed to renew their distribution contracts, but neither will say how long the deals will last. 353 million songs were downloaded from iTunes last year. Analysts say music labels get about 70 cents. That works out to just over $247 million. Daniela Bellata, ABC News.
I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
The WGNU News Update is brought to you by Sears. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. In the news, a region-wide effort will be needed to keep the traffic flowing during the I-64 reconstruction project. That's according to Cambridge Systematics, the consulting firm working with the I-64 task force to study the traffic and economic impacts of the highway rebuild. The $160,000 study is being funded by businesses in the I-64 corridor. The $500 million project will completely rebuild I-64 from Spady Road to Sarah Street. Work on the project is expected to get underway in 2007. Elsewhere, legislators on both sides of the aisle are calling for the passage of the Water Resources Development Act. Senator Dick Durbin, an Illinois Democrat, says this legislation would allow for the modernization of the lock and dam system on the Mississippi and Illinois rivers through the allocation of more than $2.5 billion. He says without that money, the locks and dams will break down sooner, which would slow down traffic on the river, reduce prices, and hurt the economy of the Midwest. In Afton, opponents of a new subdivision want the St. Louis County Council to think before moving forward with their plan. Christine Klinger, the vice president of Metropolitan Congregations United for St. Louis, says they don't have a problem with progress, but serious traffic issues need to be addressed before the villages at Gravois Creek is built. Klinger says a traffic study done in the area did not take into account the more than 5,800 yearly visitors to Grant's Farm. Traffic from the Afton Athletic Fields or dismissal times at Core Jesu Academy. The proposal clearing the way for the development is one step away from being finalized. And finally, at this hour in Clayton, a student and a teacher at Clayton High School are expected to be out of school for another week with possible cases of the mumps. School officials say testing is underway, and they've informed parents about the suspected cases. St. Louis County health officials will only say they're investigating a handful of suspected mumps cases, but there are no confirmed cases of the illness in the county. And that's WGNU News, brought to you by Sears. It's time for Sears Days, where you can find the lowest prices of the season. This week at Sears, where spring changes everything. Sale ends May 6th. I'm Peyton Colston, reporting for WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour, 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Account Temps. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes' vehicle fire reported on an off-ramp Westbound 44 from Antire to Lewis. Look for construction. There's several areas of construction, so you need to use caution through the construction areas. And let's take a look at some of the other. The Riverview Bridge over Moline Creek. Traffic's reduced to one lane for bridge work. And all approaches to the King Bridge as well as the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect no delays at this hour as traffic is resumed back to normal. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by AccountTemp, specializing in aligning your skills and expertise with fulfilling temporary financial assignments. Call or visit them today at AccountTemps.com. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. For today, showers and thunderstorms likely, a high in the upper 70s. This evening, showers and thunderstorms will continue with a low in the mid-50s. For Thursday, mostly cloudy, 50% chance of showers, high around 70. And Friday, mostly cloudy with a high in the upper 60s. Currently, at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have cloudy conditions and 63 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting clouds and 64. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609, that would be my fax. My toll-free number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Please don't forget that the Wake Up Call, this show, is archived every single day at WhiteRoseSociety.org. So if you've missed an hour, go get your hour at WhiteRoseSociety.org. That's WhiteRoseSociety.org. and a revolution at LizBrown.com and LizBrown.com. That is my, those are my digits. I remember a number of years ago when for the Wake Up Call Book Club, we did a book, Without Sanctuary. And I remembered the first time that I held that book in my hands, I was concerned about breaking the cover of it, opening the book up. I was concerned about that. Because as a person of African descent, we live differently in this country. Our life experiences are different. The world lands upon us differently. We respond to the world differently as a result of our culture and as a result of our history. And I knew once I broke the cover, once I opened the book Without Sanctuary, I would have to deal with, address, and experience emotions that are far from pleasant and that are deeply, deeply, profoundly powerful. There is rage, there is anger, there is fury, hurt and pain. When a person of African descent opens up a book and sees laid bare before her the photographic evidence of our community, our people, our culture's journey through the highways and byways of the United States of America. You see, the book Without Sanctuary is a photographic documentation of lynchings that took place, some of the lynchings that took place in this country. You see photographs of, I can close my eyes and I can see it just as clear as day, and it rips at my soul. The photograph of a pregnant woman hanging. The stories of African women having babies cut out of their bellies in the midst of this bloodlust, fury, frenzy, racist assault on the African community. Babies being ripped from their mothers' bellies and stomped on until they are dead. How do you digest that? How do you absorb that? Where do you put it once you get it in you? And despite the complicated answers to all of those questions, address it, we must. And I have joining me this morning the president of the Georgia Association of Black Elected Officials and also a Georgia House representative, Representative Tyrone Brooks. He's joining us from Atlanta to talk about lynching and to talk about a particular case and what is being done to address that issue. Representative Brooks, good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for having me on your show.
It's a pleasure, sir. It is a pleasure. And I know, I don't have to ask you if you've seen the book Without Sanctuary.
I've seen the book, I've read the book, and I have been a part of the exhibit that was in Atlanta at the Martin Luther King Jr. Historic Site for several months.
And it is a complicated thing as a person of African descent to see that, isn't it? It takes you so many places emotionally.
It does. It's a very emotionally draining experience to read the book, to witness the exhibit, to talk to elderly African Americans who have lived it, to talk to relatives of victims who were around and who witnessed their relatives being killed, to talk to descendants who have read about their grandparents and their great-grandparents experiences with the Ku Klux Klan and neo-Nazi groups and the terror, the domestic terrorism that was inflicted upon their families for many, many years. I heard you talk about women who were impregnated, who lost their babies, babies being ripped from their stomachs, cut out, being stomped upon by Klansmen. Women were lynched just as often as men.
And with the same enthusiasm.
Yes, and what you have to understand is that most lynchings took place in the broad open daytime, right after church services on Sunday.
Television has done a disservice in depicting that, because a lot of people have in their mental Rolodexes, okay, a few Klans guy in the dead of night in an unmarked car with their lights off, driving through dark roads to grab somebody, then they go lynch him. No, that's not how it happened.
That's not how it happened. Most of the lynchings occurred in daylight hours. Most of the Klans persons who were participating in the lynch mob did not wear masks because they knew there would be no penalties for their crimes. They knew that they had the support of the law enforcement community. Matter of fact, the law enforcement community and the Klan was one and the same. The law enforcement officers would wear their uniforms in the daytime, and at night they would put on their Klan uniforms. And you know, since we've been working on this Moore's Ford lynching in Monroe, Georgia, for several years now, going back to 1968, when I was just a 20-year-old rookie working for the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, and that was before Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s assassination, we had convinced Dr. King and Dr. Abernathy to come into Monroe, Georgia, and really bring exposure to this horrible unsolved lynching that occurred on July 25, 1946 at the Moore's Ford Bridge in Monroe. Dr. King made a commitment to come to Monroe, but he said he had to go to Memphis, Tennessee to help the poor struggling sanitation workers. He said, as soon as we finish in Memphis, Ralph and I will come to Monroe, help SCLC take on this lynching. Well, that we met with Dr. King on March 22nd, at Zion Hill Baptist Church in Macon, Georgia, and in less than 2 weeks.
And how old was the lynching? How old was this lynching at this time?
Well, the lynching occurred on July 25, 1946, and we were talking to Dr. King about it in March of 1968.
Okay.
So, you know, you're talking less than 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So Dr. King was very familiar with the lynching in Monroe, Georgia, because he had been visiting Monroe and Social Circle, which is a little town just 11 miles from Monroe. He had been visiting a friend whose name was Dan Young, who was an undertaker. Dan Young owned the farm there. And Dr. King would leave Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta some Sundays after preaching, and he would go to Dan Young's farm just for a little bit of R&R, just to get away from Atlanta. Social Circle in Monroe is only about 50 miles from Atlanta. So Dr. King was very familiar with this county, and he had talked to Dan Young about this for many years. Dan Young picked the bodies up from the Moore's Ford Bridge on July 25, 1946. He took photographs of the deceased, and he sent copies of the photographs to the NAACP in New York at that time, to Crisis Magazine. He also shared the photographs with the Atlanta Daily World, because Mr. Young's brother-in-law was the publisher of the Atlanta Daily World, who was Mr. C.A. Scott. They married two sisters. Mr. C.A. Scott proceeded to send copies of these photographs to the Pittsburgh Courier, Chicago Daily Defender, and other black-owned newspapers around the country. And so they got the word out to African-Americans about this horrible lynching, and that forced President Harry Truman to order a federal investigation into the lynchings, and FBI agents descended upon Walton County. They conducted a sweeping investigation. They listed 55 suspects in their report. Believe it or not, many of those suspects who were listed in that report in 1946 are living today.
Mm.
Some live in Walton County, some live in other states. So I and others have been working on this project, believe it or not, since 1968, off and on, back and forth. And now we have, you know, the state of Georgia has reopened the case, and it appears the federal government is on the verge of reopening the case, because they've told the Associated Press, the Department of Justice has, that they are reviewing the case. They're reviewing the files. And I have to say, that it's because of not only our work down here, but because of a senator from Missouri, Senator James Talbot, along with Senator Christopher Dodd, who sponsored legislation in Congress last year. And now they've received the support of my congressman from Atlanta, Congressman John Lewis, and others as they move forward with the federal government proceeding with setting up a special commission, but also creating a special division within the Department of Justice and the FBI to focus on these unsolved killings, particularly the ones like the Morris Ford lynchings and the Florida case of the Mim family, cases in Mississippi, Alabama, etc. So now we have the weight of the federal government really getting involved in these unsolved killings, and we believe that we're going to see justice, we're going to see closure through prosecution of these living suspects.
Let's go back. Let's go back to 1946 and talk to us, walk us through what happened that night.
I'll walk you through it from as much as I know. What happened about 11 days prior to the lynchings in Monroe, a young black man by the name of Roger Malcolm had gotten into a fight with a white man whose name was Barney Hester. The fight occurred in Mr. Barney Hester's yard. The fight happened because Mr. Malcolm confronted Mr. Hester about inappropriate comments to his wife. Mr. Malcolm, a proud black man, had heard that Mr. Hester was flirting with his wife, and he was offended, so he confronted this white man. They had a fight. Mr. Malcolm wanted to fight. He stabbed Mr. Hester in the arm. Mr. Malcolm was arrested. He was taken to the Walton County Jail in downtown Monroe, Georgia. He was held in the jail for 11 days. After 11 days, Mr. Hester decided that he wanted to bond Mr. Malcolm out, bring him back to his farm to get him to do some work. And he sent another white farmer, a neighboring farmer by the name of Mr. Lloyd Harrison, who had been a longtime member of the Ku Klux Klan, to go bond Mr. Malcolm out of jail. Mr. Harrison agreed to do that. And while he was downtown, he saw Mr. Malcolm's wife, Dorothy, but he also saw May and George Dorsey. And he offered to take all of them back to the farm. In the meantime, no one knew it, but Mr. Lloyd Harrison had made arrangements with the Ku Klux Klan to be at the Morris Ford Bridge because he made a commitment to deliver Roger Malcolm to this mob. In those days, it was unheard of for a black man to get into a fight with a white man, survive the fight, and then end up in jail. Usually, you're killed on the spot. You're lynched on the spot. But Mr. Malcolm was held in the jail for 11 days. That was highly unusual. So the Klan was incensed that a black man was in jail for beating a white man.
Rather than dead.
So Mr. Law Harrison, who was a part of the conspiracy and the mob, he delivered Mr. Roger Malcolm, Dorothy Malcolm, May, and George Dorsey.
Why did they get in that car?
They thought they were going back to Barney Hester's farm. That's what they were told by Law Harrison. He said, well, I'm going to take you back to Barney Hester's farm. He's got work for you all to do. Everything is going to be all right. He's forgiven Roger for the fight. Don't worry about all of that. That's in the past. So they get in Mr. Law Harrison's car, assuming they're going back to the farm. In the meantime, a black woman by the name of Miss Sarah Maddox, who was a cousin of May Dorsey, she saw them downtown on the sidewalk right across from the courthouse. She saw them leaving the jail and going over to get into Mr. Law Harrison's car. She had a chat with them. She saw the car pull away. She wondered why Mr. Law Harrison's car was going a different route instead of going straight to Barney Hester's farm.
So we have a
long route.
So we have an eyewitness there of seeing them get in that car.
Absolutely. And believe it or not, Miss Sarah Maddox is living today. We see her when we go to Monroe every time.
Mm-hmm.
She's a living witness, and she was a cousin of Miss Dorsey. She talks about that openly. She just did an interview with one of our local TV stations about this. So the car leaves downtown Monroe. It proceeds around the backside of Walton County, Monroe, over to the Morris Ford Bridge, where the mob of Klansmen are waiting this is around 6 p.m. in the afternoon. Broad open sunlight, beautiful, beautiful day. So they deliver the family, and the mob is waiting. And when the car pulls up to the Moores Ford Bridge, the Klan proceeds to drag Roger and George out of the car. The women are screaming, please leave our husbands alone. Please don't hurt our husband. And all of a sudden, the Klan turn on the women. They start beating the women. And they said, we're going to kill these two niggers, the men. Then they realized that the women had seen their faces, and they said, we got to kill them too. So they took them down the road, down the hill, under the bridge. They beat them, they shot them, and they hung them. Then they cut the baby out of Dorothy Malcolm.
Dorothy Malcolm was 7 months pregnant.
7 months pregnant. This was told to me, first of all, when I was 20 years old, when I was a rookie in SCLC by Mr. Dan Young. When I arrived in Monroe on assignment in 1968 to work on an SCLC project, Mr. Dan Young took me to the basement of his funeral home in Monroe. And he said, young man, I have a son your age. He's at Morehouse College. He said, I don't want anything to happen to you. He said, never leave Atlanta driving here alone. Always have someone with you. And he said, furthermore, I'm going to call Jose Williams and tell Jose never to allow you to drive over here by yourself. You should always have someone with you. And he said, furthermore, we will meet you halfway. He shocked me when he opened up his file cabinet and proceeded to show me the photographs of the Malcolms and the Dorseys. It was shock therapy. He said, I'm showing you this because I don't want you to end up like these dead people in these photographs.
What did you see when he showed you the pictures?
I saw gruesome, I saw horrendous, mutilated bodies. I saw black people who had been shot, who had been cut, who had been hanged in trees. And I saw these folk. It was like unreal. I asked Mr. Young, why in the world do you want me to see this? He said, I want you to see this because I want you to know you are in the lynching capital of Georgia. This is a headquarters for the Ku Klux Klan. And he said, just a few miles up the road is the site of Klan lynchings at Stone Mountain. Now, today, Stone Mountain is a national park. Everybody around the world, when they come to Atlanta, they want to go to the King Center, the Carter Center, and then Stone Mountain. When I was a little boy, my grandmother would bring me from Warrington, Georgia, my hometown, and proceed to take me by Stone Mountain and teach me the history of Stone Mountain. She said, Stone Mountain is the scene of lynchings. This is where they lynch black people, particularly black men, and they throw them off the mountain.
Mm.
So Mr. Young began to show me these photographs. And believe me, it shocked me. It shocked me, truly shocked me. And I could not understand why he wanted me to see these photographs. He said, son, you have to see these photographs because you have to know that you're in the capital of the Ku Klux Klan. Mm-hmm. And you cannot come to Walton County alone. You cannot ever come here alone. He said, be careful. He said, we don't want you to end up dead like the folks in these photographs.
And I need you to hold that thought, please, Representative Brooks,
sure,
because we have to take a break.
Yes.
I am talking to Representative Tyrone Brooks, a Georgia House of Representatives member and the president of the Georgia Association of Black Elected Officials. He's joining me from Atlanta, Georgia. We are talking about a lynching in Georgia in 1946. Stay with me. I'm Liz Brown.
All this time, nothing's changed. Make me wanna holler, make me wonder how.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi. Hi, folks. This is Decent Guy Dunn. Join me at midnight every Monday through Friday right here on WGNU. Yes, you heard right. Every night at midnight, Monday through Friday. Congress isn't the only group of people up at midnight, don't you know? Now the conspiracy hunter is flying under cover of darkness with night vision at the ready to uncover what's going on in Washington and in world capitals and to discuss it with you. It's information that matters to all of us. Remember, join me at midnight Monday through Friday for The Conspiracy Hunter with Decent Guy Don Griffin on AM 920 WGNU, the station with something for everyone, even at midnight. See you then.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. St. Louis Connect Care is sponsoring a special event to help women find out more information on how to take better care of themselves, both physically and mentally, in order to lower their risk for disease. Just for You, for Women Only, will take place on Monday, May 15th, in the elegant setting of the Portfolio Art Gallery, 3514 Del Mar. Attendees can tour the current gallery showing of fabrics, quilts, and purses, and then enjoy heart-healthy refreshments. This event will also offer health screenings, health counseling, and health education to women from low-income families and who are currently uninsured. Plus, there will be some wonderful demonstrations that women can use to relieve stress, things like chair massages, acupuncture, and Reiki. Plan to take a few hours and be good to yourself. Attend Just for You, for Women Only, on Monday, May 15th, from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Portfolio Art Gallery, 3514 Del Mar. Call 879-6231 for more information. Sponsored by St. Louis Connect Care. Still connected to the community.
Hi, this is Herb Steck. I'm the host of The West Wing, right here on WGNU Radio. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., covering politics here in St. Louis, across the state, in the Capitol and Jeff City, and on the national level. Call in with your questions, your comments. Drop us an email, wgnu@hotmail.com. We'll be happy to talk about any political subject you want to talk about on Wednesday nights, right here on The West Wing with Herb Steck.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@wgnu.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and kind.
Hello, this is Liz Brown, and you know me, I'm always trying to plan your life, so put it down in your calendar. May 6th, from 4 to 9 p.m., the People's Lawyer, Chokwe Lumumba, will speak on injustice in America, from the courtroom to Katrina, at the Muhammad Academy at 3526 Garrison, and the special guest speaker will also be Dr. Imare Obadeli. This timely event is sponsored by the Provisional Government Republic of New Africa. It's $25, and this includes a dinner. Tickets are available at Ujamaa Bookstore, and also the same price at the door. For more information, call 839-0422, 839-0422. Listen to, hear, be inspired by the People's Lawyer, Chokwe Lumumba, this Saturday from 4 to 9. Give them a call at 839-0422.
Hi, I'm Laurie Fulkerson. Join me every Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock on AM 920 WGNU. You'll hear stories of people who are just like you that are overcoming obstacles and making the difference in lives of others. And you're invited to share your thoughts. You know, people are what matter most to me, and I enjoy talking with you and helping you reach your highest goals. Join me for the Laurie Fulkerson Show Wednesday mornings at 10 on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss what matters most to you.
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week.
Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the wake-up call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September. A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Understand, this is for all of my ancestors who were raped, who were killed, and hung because of their plight for freedom and for dignity. They died for me, and they died for you. This is for them to know that, yes, we are still fired up, and we're still talking about revolution.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I am talking this morning to Georgia House of Representatives member, Representative Tyrone Brooks. He's also the president of the Georgia Association of Black Elected Officials. He is joining me from Atlanta, Georgia. And we're talking about a lynching from 1946 and what is being done. Representative, welcome back.
Thank you.
You were sharing with us the life experience of being shown the photographs of five people.
Yes.
That have been shot, hung, and stabbed?
Yes. Yes.
And after you were shown those pictures, what were you thinking? What did you think that you needed to do?
Well, the first thing I did was pick up the phone and call my civil rights hero, who became a father to me in the civil rights movement, Reverend Hosea Williams, who was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s field general. Hosea had literally brought me into the movement as a teenager, and he was very close to me. He was like my father. I called him up, and I said, Hosea, I'm devastated. I said, I just saw some photographs in Dan Young's funeral home that just upset me. And I said, Mr. Young tells me that this is the result of a lynching that occurred not far from Monroe. And immediately, Hosea said, the Moores Ford Bridge. He said, Dan Young was the undertaker who picked the bodies up.
Mm.
And he said, you know, Tyrone, it's good that you've seen it, because it's something that you need to know about. It's something that all of the staff at SCLC should know about. And he said, at some point, we as an organization much press the federal government to prosecute those who still live, who were involved in the horrible lynching. It upset me tremendously, but it really gave me an insight as to Georgia's history and all that had been occurring for many, many years.
But Representative Brooks, your was it your mother that took you to the mountain?
My grandmother would drive me by Stone Mountain.
But she took you there.
Me to Atlanta, from Warrenton, Georgia, my hometown. She would say to me, son, that mountain right there is a meeting place of the Ku Klux Klan. This is where they lynch black people, and they throw them off the mountain. I remember that as a little child coming to Atlanta during the summer after school. My grandmama said that to me on many occasions, but when I see photographs of dead people,
it made it real.
I mean, God knows, it just came to me in a profound way. It knocked me off my feet. I couldn't understand how this could happen, and no one would be arrested or prosecuted. And so here I am, a very idealistic 20-year-old, working in this big organization headed by Dr. King and Abernathy and Hosea Williams and others, and here I am in the midst of where a lynching occurred, with the man who picked the bodies up talking to me about it as if it's real life stuff, you know. And so it really had an impact on me, but as fate would have it, a few weeks later, we meet Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in Macon for a conference as he and Abernathy were planning for the Poor People's Campaign March on Washington. They were traveling the country. They came to St. Louis. They were all over the country planning for this march on Washington. So Hosea Williams calls us to Macon, and we talked to Dr. King about the lynchings, and he said, look, let me go to Memphis, Tennessee. help the sanitation workers, and as soon as we finish, we will come to Monroe, Georgia, and we will call attention to the unsolved lynchings at the Morris Ford Bridge. He said, I'm very familiar with this case. And so, you know, as time would pass, I keep going back and forth to Walton County. I keep getting called back and forth, even after I get elected to the House of Representatives in 1980. I keep coming back. And finally, in 1998-99, I say to my friend, Governor Roy Barnes, we need to reopen this case at the state level. He immediately does it. And then a year later, I say to the Governor Barnes, we need to set up a reward fund, and we do that. His office and the Georgia Association of Black Elected Officials, together, we have posted a $27,000 reward for information that will lead to the successful prosecution and conviction of any persons living.
But Representative Brooks, back in 1946, well, I mean, that wasn't the first reward ever offered.
Well, in 1946, there was no reward. We posted this reward in the year 2000. From 1946 up to the year 2000, there was really no real movement, no real demand for prosecution. Now, I have to say this. After reading the FBI report on the lynchings, I have to say the federal government did a superb job of laying out the facts, investigating the case, listing 55 suspects in their report. The problem was, when the federal government proceeded toward presenting this to a federal grand jury down here in Georgia, the southern bloc of white Democratic elected officials, they were Democrats, but they were really Dixiecrats, the Strom Thurmonds, the Richard B. Russells, the James Eastlands, the John Stennises of the world,
and the same ones that didn't apologize for enslavement when given an offer, for not passing a lynching bill.
Correct.
Earlier this year.
Correct. Now, right. They blocked the federal government from prosecuting the case. The FBI did a superb job of investigating and laying out the facts, but when it came time for prosecution, the white Democratic power structure, and they, like I said earlier, they're really Dixiecrats, where the Democratic title, they blocked the federal government from proceeding because there were so many prominent families linked to the lynching.
Mm.
When you read the record, and when you go to Walton County, you read the list of suspects, then you walk around or drive around Walton County and Monroe, and you see names that are in the FBI report on road signs, on street markers.
Give us some examples.
Blacks in the courthouses. I mean, been the judges, they've been the mayors, they've been the sheriffs, they've been the commissioners, the city council persons. These are prominent citizens who were mentioned in the report, and many of their names are still today lingering because their descendants have become the power brokers. They've become the chairman of the Chamber of Commerce, the president of the local bank.
Mm.
And so when you talk about prosecuting the power structure of a small town hierarchy, the white power structure says no to the federal government, so the federal government backed off and there was no prosecution. And so the case lingered for many, many years. But finally in 1998, I was called back to Walton County to sit in on an interview with one of the eyewitnesses to the lynching. His name was Mr. Roy Jackson. I called the U.S. Attorney for the Middle District of Georgia, Beverly Martin. She's now a federal judge here in the Atlanta area. And she contacted Attorney General Janet Reno. Attorney General Janet Reno authorized an FBI agent to come over from Athens, Georgia, which is nearby, and it's famous because of the University of Georgia, you know. So this FBI agent comes over from Athens. He joins us. We go to this home to interview Mr. Roy Jackson, who's 83 years old, who was an eyewitness to the lynchings. Mr. Jackson is bedridden. He's dying. And the agent from the FBI said to us, look, we need to record this interview.
Preserve the evidence.
He goes and he gets a video camera. He sets it up in Mr. Jackson's bedroom and turns the camera on. And Mr. Jackson talks to the camera. And he talks about what he saw. He named suspects. He talked about the fact that when the mob had finished with the lynchings, they proceeded to drive away very slowly, and they were led by a county deputy sheriff's car with the light flashing. He talks about the fact that he saw another police car from across the border from South Carolina. Oh yeah. This is all on video. It's a part of the evidence.
And we have to take a break at this point.
Okay.
When we come back, we'll take some of your calls and comments too at 1-877-920-WGNU. I'm Liz Brown. I'm talking to Representative Tyrone Brooks. He's a member of the Georgia House of Representatives and president of the Georgia Association of Black Elected Officials. He's joining me from Atlanta, Georgia. We're talking about what has been described as a lynching bee staged at Monroe, Georgia. I'll be back. Stay with us.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide...
The St. Louis Writers Guild presents a poetry workshop on Saturday from 10 to noon. The Guild presents Harvard-educated poet and novelist Ruth Miriam Garnett at the Barnes & Noble on Watson Road in Crestwood. All are welcome. The $5 charge for non-members may be fully credited toward dues within 30 days. For more information, call 314-821-3823. Poetic news to you from WGNU.
Hello, I'm John Womack. I have a new show on WGNU called On the Table. Some of the things we'll talk about will be restaurants, food and wine trends, recipes. But really, we're just trying to help you experience great food and wine, whether you're at home or out on the town. So if you love great food and wine, you'll love On the Table. Be listening every Tuesday at noon here on WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Gaza City. Unrest is growing in the Palestinian community because the new Hamas government is not able to make payroll for its civil employees. Many have not been paid for over a month now. There have been episodes where police officers have taken over public buildings and threatened more attacks. Observers are expressing concern that the Palestinian Authority may soon collapse because of the internal struggles. Hamas is in a crunch now because Israel has refused to turn loose of over $50 million in tax and custom revenues that it collects for the PA. And Europe and the U.S. have also refused to make aid payments because of the election of Hamas to power. That's a loss of $1 billion a year. Several countries have promised short-term help to the tune of about $200 million, but government officials say they need much more. And a Dateline Washington. One of the leading economists in the Bush administration says it would not be a good idea to cut the tax on gasoline to try and lower prices. Edward Lazier, the chairman of the White House Council on Economic Advisers, says cutting the gasoline tax would cause the public to use more oil, not less. Democrats have floated the idea of suspending the 18-cent a gallon tax on gasoline for about 60 days, as prices are topping $3 a gallon in several parts of the country. Lazier says an administration proposal to give a $100 rebate is also a bad idea for the same reason. He questions if that is the best way to use tax resources. His comments came during a Q&A session after a speech that talked about the growing wage gap between skilled and unskilled workers in this country. This is your wake-up call global news update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. Thinking about moving? Think Allstate. If you're looking for some cheap fly-by-night, this is not the place to call. If you're looking for first-class service in local and long-distance moving, Allstate's is the only choice. Celebrating 77 years of service to St. Louis and the nation. Allstate's Transworld Van Lines, 314-389-6200.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
That's right, washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, lawnmowers, you name it, Sears has it. Get on over to Sears. You don't have to drive to the mall. It's right here in the city of St. Louis, the only full-service Sears in the entire city of St. Louis. Get on over to 3425 Union. That's right, 3425 Union. Best customer service, best location, best products, all of that right there at your neighborhood Sears. Go on over. Get your shop on. I'm Liz Brown. 1 year. See Jerome Williams. Tell him I told you to.
When I was stationed in Iraq, the vehicle I was riding in was a broadside in an ambush, and I fractured my spinal cord in four places, paralyzing me on my right side. I woke up in the States and was sure glad to see my family and an officer from Paralyzed Veterans of America. PVA helped me manage everything to make sure I got all my medical and rehab benefits.
Serving America's veterans for over 60 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America. To help PVA help America's veterans, visit PVA.org.
Hi, this is Herb Steck. I'm the host of The West Wing, right here on WGNU Radio. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., covering politics here in St. Louis, across the state, in the Capitol and Jeff City, and on the national level. Call in with your questions, your comments. Drop us an email, WGNU@hotmail.com. We'll be happy to talk about any political subject you want to talk about on Wednesday nights, right here on The West Wing with Herb Steck.
Want to help local charities and not-for-profit groups? Want to have a great time doing it? Then head down to Patty Long's 9th Street Abbey in Soulard this Friday from 5 till 9 p.m. for a party on the patio. Every week, a different organization receives a portion of the proceeds and all the tips their volunteer servers can bring in. There's a featured drink each week, free hors d'oeuvres, and live music. Summer fun and helping others has never been so easy. Party on the patio with Patty Long's 9th Street Abbey all summer long. This week's party benefits the St. Louis chapter of PFLAG.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown, and I'm here with a reminder to you. Our school board meeting for the St. Louis Public Schools is Tuesday, May 9th at 7 p.m. at Car Lane School. Our obligation did not end on the day that we voted. We must all attend our school board meeting, 7 p.m. this Tuesday at Car Lane. I'll see you there.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown. I'm talking this morning to State Representative Tyrone Brooks. He's out of the Georgia House of Representatives, and he's also president of the Georgia Association of Black Elected Officials. He's joining me from Atlanta, Georgia this morning. Representative Brooks, you put together a reenactment of this lynching. Tell us about that.
Yes. Last year, on April 1st through the 4th, we conducted a series of activities in Monroe to call attention to the lynchings, but also to commemorate the 37th anniversary of the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And we said last year that we wanted people to remember Dr. King because Dr. King had Monroe, Georgia, and the lynchings on his assignment sheet. And so we dedicated all of those activities a year ago to Dr. King's memory. But we also marched on the bridge April 1st of last year and April 4th last year. While we are standing on the bridge on April 4th of last year, the new president of SCLC, Senator Charles Steele, my good friend from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, who served in the Alabama legislature for 10 years, he turned to me and he said, "Tyrone, we should conduct a reenactment of the lynchings."
Mm.
And I said, "Charles, that's a wonderful idea." So the idea came from Senator Charles Steele. We did conduct the reenactment of the lynchings. We had local citizens to play the roles of the Klan, the Malcolms and the Dorseys, Law Harrison, the law enforcement, etc. It was a monumental success. the amount of coverage that we received from the national and international media, I think, touched the conscience of the United States Congress. And that's why I think Senator Talent, Senator Dodd, and now Congressman John Lewis, my congressman, my neighbor here in Atlanta, have all agreed to work together in sponsoring this legislation. I was visited by, I believe, Mr. Alvin Sykes right after the lynchings from St. Louis last year. But the lynchings and the reenactment of the lynchings, I think, raised the issue to a higher level and forced the federal government and our state government to really begin the process of really determining how they should proceed and really rounding up the suspects, bringing them before the bar of justice, getting convictions, hopefully, and moving on toward closure. We're going to be conducting the second annual reenactment of the lynchings this July 25th in Monroe, Georgia, and we're inviting the public from around the country to come and be with us at the First African Baptist Church in Monroe on July 25th of this year.
And what was that like emotionally for those that were there? You had hundreds of people that were there at this reenactment of this lynching. What were some of the things that they expressed as being part of that?
Well, relatives began to cry. Persons who were connected to the Malcolms and the Dorseys broke down and cried. And we had relatives from as far away as California, New York, Chicago, Miami. They came from around the country. We also had visitors who decided that they just wanted to come and see what a reenactment would be like. So there were throngs of people from around the country, believe me. And it's students from Clark Atlanta University, from Morehouse, Spelman, Marsh Brown, ITC, Emory, University of Georgia. They were all over Walton County trying to get as much information as they could. Many professors in political science and criminal justice decided to assign students to come and observe and participate. It was in a way a reliving of what happened on July 25th, 1946, in so many ways. It had a profound impact on not only Georgia, but America. The coverage in the New York Times, Washington Post, USA Today, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and all of the black press across America, it had a tremendous impact on this nation's conscience. And we think that was a defining moment.
So we're
moving the investigations forward.
So where are we now? We have a couple more minutes left here, Representative. Where are we now? What's the next step?
Here's where we are right now. The federal government is reviewing the case again. That's good news. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation has its case open, proceeding, continuing to work. We have made a commitment to increase the reward from $27,000 to $100,000 to get more information to help the authorities. And we hope and pray that we will see arrest and prosecution very, very soon. But the next item on our agenda is to conduct the second annual reenactment of the lynchings, July 25th, in Monroe, Georgia, starting at the First African Baptist Church at 2 p.m.
And where can people contact you to get more information about this?
They can call us at 404-656-6372, and also they can go to gabeo.org. That's GABEO.org. That's our website. The phone number again is 404-656-6372, but also hit on gabeo.org.
Representative Tyrone Brooks, thank you so much for joining me this morning on the Wake Up Call.
Thank you very much for having me.
My pleasure. Listen, folks, I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Stay strong.
I will never say the progress is being made. If you take a knife and knife back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below the low knee.